Yes, I'm sorry, Jim. Is that okay? That's okay. Okay, works for me. Works for you. The Lapine City Council regular meeting, Wednesday, January 13th, 2010, is called to order at 6:20 p.m. We'll now have a roll call. City Recorder Dan Avell.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Councilman Don Bryan.
Mayor Kitty Shields.
Councilor Barbara Hitchens.
Councilor Del McAfee.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
Administrative Assistant Patty Morgan.
All right, all staff and council are present. Have a quorum. Continue on.
Judy Forsyth, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Item number four is added agenda items. We do have one which was moved over from our work session, and that will be number 13A. Other matters? I have
13A.
13A, a motion to pursue employment of city manager. Everyone got that? Item number five, consent agenda. Is there any discussion on consent agenda? Or can we make a motion to approve?
Yes, I will.
Well, I guess we do have it.
Let me see the minutes.
Okay, the minutes that we had the discussion on, is that?
Yeah.
Okay, that is what we have in our packet now, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And did you have?
Actually, Kitty, technically, in the packet I have is before Don Greiner made a correction. But they all got emailed the changes.
Okay.
The one change. The whole
new set. Right, okay. So I think that you should note your changes, and then as a whole, then we'll go ahead and approve it.
So let's remove it from the consent agenda, add it as an added agenda item. And then we can discuss the changes.
Okay. Because I don't have those changes with me.
I do.
Okay. Okay, we will move the approval of the December 9th, 2009 meeting minutes to other matters. That will be number 13B. All right. Any discussion on the bills and invoices?
No.
All right. If there is no discussion, I will entertain a motion to approve the bills and invoices as presented.
I would so say so.
All right. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Ryan, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right.
Excuse me. The December 15th minutes were approved?
Yes.
On the
Those got reviewed in time.
Okay.
Get them out of order. I apologize for that at the time. Okay, Joe, you would like to come up here. We have item number 6, Project Wildfire, Wood Debris Removal and Fuels Treatment, presentation by Joe Stutler, Deschutes County Forester.
Good.
One of our favorite guys because he always brings us good stuff.
Well, I'm not going to change my record, I don't think. Okay, well, thank you. For the record, Joe Stutler, County Forester. I've got a couple of items to visit with you, the council, tonight. The first one is we've been working on fuel treatment around the city of La Pine, South County, and as we have moved along, we've created over on county land in the industrial area basically a woody debris disposal site that we've been grinding the material. The proposal, and this is another one of my famous PowerPoints, so you don't need any electricity, I make pictures for everybody. Take one of these and go that way. There you go.
Sure.
And then, there it is. And this additional one, take one and pass it down. Please.
Where is this site located?
So what I'm, when the way the pictures and the words get out, what I'm proposing is that what you see, the first one is the, we did a, it was essentially a partnership with the Upper Deschutes Coalition. We've got two disposal sites that are on county land, and basically we use the coalition as a venue for education, that type of stuff, and we use county on land, we bring in defensible space here, the neighborhoods bring material in for free. If contractors are working in the area, they have chips, they bring it in, we grind all of it using our grant money, and that ground material goes to about 5 different locations, most of them in Oregon, one in Washington, to either make clean electricity or other products from chips. So what I'm proposing is that Project Wildfire in Deschutes County, you know, enter into a partnership with the city of La Pine, and we would use our land, county land, over in the industrial park to send, officially designate a woody biomass disposal site here. And the sign would look, you know, something like this. Instead of Upper Deschutes Coalition, it would say, you know, the city of La Pine and Project Wildfire. And then, you know, basically the other signs are, you know, we make a number of these signs and put them up, kind of direct people, you know, to the location. And I just think it would be a good partnership opportunity for Project Wildfire, the county, and the city of La Pine. And I think probably the best news to you is that there's not going to be any costs for you. We can cover the grinding, the signs from our grant money, and you know, what I think we would expect in return from a Project Wildfire perspective is, you know, anytime we get a chance to do education, you know, fire prevention, education, defensible space stuff, that, you know, we can count on the city of La Pine and, you know, the council will do that. And so that's the first proposal, is to, you know, have a jointly sponsored, you know, biomass site. So we actually have been using it, but, you know, we need to go through the process of, you know, designating, making that available to people and that type of stuff. So, discussion or concerns or?
This is in the
industrial park? Is that where this is?
Well, that particular one is north of here, near Sun River, on county-owned land. And it's, we have two sites, one on Fontana and one on Cedar Court. And what we do is, there are essentially 2 acre sites on county-owned land. So we make those available for private citizens to do a defensible space around the property to the, you know, defensible space standards, and they can take that. It's open 24/7, and we also have other work going on, you know, fuels treatment work that go to the site. We have contractors that regularly haul chips to those sites, and once that gets full, I generally get about 3 phone calls in 2 hours that it's getting close to being full. And we bring in one of our tub grinding contractors, and they grind it, and then it goes to various locations.
So you're proposing to put one of these somewhere out around the industrial park somewhere,
yeah,
for use of the people in the park?
That's exactly right. In reality, we have one kind of going on there now that's kind of evolved from when we were treating the fuels. It just made sense to me to, you know, enter into a, you know, kind of a partnership agreement with the...
I see.
We'll find city council to do the same thing here.
Okay. And how does the city enter into this partnership, and then what are our duties and responsibilities?
Well, basically, if you agree with the notion of this, you know, put together some sort of a, you know, agreement that we sit down and certainly have you review it. And the whole notion is that, you know, is that we think it's a good partnership. We'd like to, you know, look at the city of Lapine, you know, from the standpoint of Project Wildfire, as we have with the city of Bend, city of Redmond, city of Sisters as a partner with Defensible Space. You know, anytime we could, you know, make a count on the city council to talk about Defensible Space, homeowner responsibility, that would be the time investment from the standpoint of what it's going to cost the city. It's, you know, it's not going to cost the city anything. We've got the grant money to administer it. If someone in the city or the city council would let me know when the thing's getting close to be full, if I miss it, then I'd like to know that so I can come some grind it. And so it's, you know, again, basically just a, you know, a partnership opportunity that we have with the other municipalities, and we're going to extend it to the Lapine City Council and the city of Lapine.
Are you doing this in Bend and Redmond?
In Bend, we have a disposal site. We do not have a, you know, kind of a formal agreement with the city of Bend, but we have sites around the county, and so anytime we can get partnerships together to do that, it makes sense for us to do it. So actually, it'll be the first city that we have the formal agreement with, but the city of Bend uses our site all the time. So.
And you've already talked with Leggy, at Lapine Industrial Group, on the use of the land, or?
To tell you the truth, I have not. Since we are, you know, it is on, you know, the county owned facility, and you know, it's kind of evolving. So this is kind of the first step,
uh-huh,
for that.
I
so,
see.
Yeah. So I'll hand the air over here. So.
I have a question.
Sure.
If a citizen has some yard debris that usually goes to the dump and they have to pay to get rid of it, can they bring it to these sites then?
That's what it's all about. It's specifically for, you know, yard debris, needles, limbs, that type of stuff. And you know, and when we begin this operation north of here and around Bend, you know, there was a lot of concern, and some of it was mine about refrigerator stoves, metal, that type of stuff. And you know, it's been remarkable. You know, we've asked people to kind of police themselves. I think we've had one incident in the facility, the area in Bend, where someone brought in a load of rocks and dirt into the facility, and we got that taken care of pretty quickly. And we had one deposit of a refrigerator one time in one of the locks off of Fontana, and it's actually been, you know, folks recognize it as a debris thing, and it actually saves them from going to the landfill and the transfer station and paying money for it. So folks have seemed to honor that, and we've actually been doing some of that over here since the spring. I've had one issue of, you know, something inappropriately dropped there. So I think it's, you know, it, you know, the little, you know, trust people, and it seems to work out pretty well for us. So, so.
Deborah.
Joe, just one quick question. Given that Liggy is actively promoting the industrial area to different users that may come in and locate, could this particular use be mobile so that if somebody didn't want it next to their new building, but perhaps could be, can you locate this to another area so it's a temporary use?
You bet. And that's a good point. Thank you. We actually have had that issue come up at least once. We thought we got a great location on Downey Street, and we used it for about 6 or 8 months. We went around and talked to the neighbors, and they said, yeah, we think that's a good idea, nice to have it. So on the second grind, and this is a pretty dusty operation, one of the neighbors, the lady and her children had asthma, and said, you know, this is not working for us. And we said, okay. So we picked a better location to, again, talk to the neighbors, and then, you know, we have the site. So we've got that that possibility. The good deal is that we've got enough, I think, you know, county-owned land down here that we can facilitate that. But getting as many partners as this is, you know, is important to me. So you bet we can move it. We need to do that now.
Thank you. Yep. And for those who don't know, Deborah McMahon and James Lewis are the consultants who are working with us to do the comprehensive plan. So all of these kind of things are important to them, hence the question.
Yeah, good question. Sure.
Luana?
Now, a couple months ago, the council had agreed to, with the CWWP.
Community Fire Plan, yeah.
Yes. How does that tie into this, or because there is a signing ceremony that will be coming up for that too?
It's a good question. We have, you know, within the Community Fire Plan, we have, you know, I think there's 9 areas within the Greater Lapine Community Fire Plan, and we have, you know, areas that are higher priority than others, but, you know, all of them are pretty high. And then towards the end of the Community Fire Plan, that's got some action items about, you know, how we go about minimizing the risk of mitigation. So this fits right in with the Community Fire Plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You mentioned Cagle Subdivision. Is that where you're going to be cleaning up through there? Or Luana did the road?
I think that's the second part of
that. That's the second part of it. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when you get there. Yeah, when you get the biomass thing, then we'll move to the second thing. So.
Okay,
this was the one we were working at.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that too.
Yeah, that's next.
Oh, Stu, we'll allow it. You guys drive around in those garbage trucks, and this has to affect you guys.
My question, Joe, is why not use Southwest Transfer Station?
The one between here and Bend?
Yes.
Well, part of it is the haul distance. The 97, the debris. What we're finding is that if we're using providing these sites a lot closer to where the problems are, you know, frankly, we don't have a lot of urban interstation on the transfer station. We have it across the street, but what we're going to wind up working across the county is having probably 8 or 10 of those strategically located to where people can, you know, and then again, the transfer station is not open all the time. The transfer station costs money, and all of those are creating barriers to people doing the physical phase of getting it, you know, to be used. And so we thought, well, you know, the county has a lot of land. We put all these community fire plans together. Why not make some of that land available to do some of that? So we're finding, for example, this the Fontana site is 2 acres, which is, you know, 2 football fields. We in 2009, we ground that site five times, and we got 16 chip truckloads out of it each time. So that's, you know, that's you know, 90 trucks and 140 cubic yards per truck. So we got something like 1,400 cubic yards from a 2-acre site, and all that was just people in that neighborhood that voluntarily brought that stuff there. The other cool thing about it is when we write our grants, we have to identify, you know, basically homeowner participation or contribution to all this. So I can say, okay, and we know, because we've actually measured it, for every ground cubic yard of debris, that equates to about a quarter acre of treatment. So for every 4 yards, that's about an acre. We know that if we go out and hire someone to do work, it's going to cost us close to $1,000 to treat a piece of property or an acre. So if we're getting contributed debris to these sites, and I know the cubic yards, I can convert that to acres, and we're getting $333 credit for that for a grant. So that makes us really competitive. When we can say, we're providing 2 acres of county land, and we're turning in 11,440 cubic yards of debris annually that people are contributing. So you divide that by four, you get yourself, you know, 3,500, 4,000 acres of treatment times 333, and pretty soon you've got yourself over $1 million of contribution to the public's doing. That keeps us very competitive.
Right.
So we don't get that at the landfill.
Right. And the whole concept was not my concern. My concern is the air quality in the industrial park.
Yep.
You already have three chipping operations going on out there. Where at Southwest, they're set up with a wider perimeter where the impact is much less. So my concern is the air quality with another chipping operation in the industrial park.
Very good point. And I will tell you that that issue hit us about the second time we ground out there this year or so. As a consequence, the contractors who will be doing that will have built the payment there every time we grind. So it's not won't be an issue anymore.
But the dust abatement won't wind up like the one chipping operation out there now, where we have 2 feet of mud that's going up and down the roads, causing a major safety hazard.
Not aware of that. Okay. So those are all good points. But you know, I think that, you know, I think the thing I would illustrate or make a point is that, you know, I'm willing to take the responsibility of the manager to monitor that and let me know what those issues are. I mean, it's got to work for people, and if we got, you know, if our solution is causing a problem, let me know what that is, and I think we can fix it. So.
Well, and you still need to talk with the Lapine Industrial Group, and they'll have all those questions anyway.
Good. Those are good questions.
So, yeah. Very
okay.
Good questions.
Good. You bet.
Thank you, Stu.
Okay, we're ready to talk about fuels treatment?
Sure.
Okay, what we had is a number of grants that we've received, and all of them are federal grants, and all of them allow us to treat fuels, you know, either around homes or wherever. And we've actually, you know, made quite a bit of progress in the various states. We've made progress in Ponderosa Pines and other areas, certainly the new neighborhood, the east side of the Pine. One of the places that we need to make progress, and then again this ties into the community fire plans, is the ingress-egress along roads. And so what I'm offering is that we have grants that we would love to be able to work with the city of Lapine, and you know, what I'm thinking about is some of these, you know, how can I say this? The ones that are overgrown, that are dirt, where access would be limited. We've got houses there, and what we want to improve is both the ability for people to get in and out if there is an emergency, and certainly getting law enforcement and fire departments there. So what I would like to do is also, you know, have you help me identify, you know, someone or some areas to look at, and then we would come in and take a look at the right of way, take a look at what needs to be done, and then we would provide through grant money a contract to go, you know, basically treat that fuel and remove it from those areas. And, you know, I'm thinking probably over the next, you know, year or next couple of years, we're talking probably in the $50,000 to $75,000 amount that we could put towards the right of way clearance, you know, in this area. So I just need, you know, areas to look at, some sort of priority that you have to do that, and then, you know, we'll be happy to put the contract together and, you know, and take care of those things. And those are, again, are high priorities, ingress, egress, are high priorities throughout the community fire plan, and, you know, but it's time we dealt with those.
Well, I don't think there'll be any problem identifying areas as we do our other road work that we need to do and such. Yeah, that one sounds like a great,
I have a question, Mrs. Mayor.
Yes.
I'll give you three real quick questions. You can ask them all at once. Are you talking about removing woody debris from the right-of-ways on the gravel roads in the Kegel subdivision and or private property that's uninhabited with no building on it that is overgrown and classified as a fire hazard? Number two, how wide is the street the road is supposed to be, including the right-of-way, so that the residents know how much of the right-of-way goes up on the frontage of their property? Okay, that's number two. And number three?
No, that was three, but go ahead.
Number four? You think are live trees growing in the right-of-way? Are you going to cut them down, pull them up? What?
Okay, let's start with the first one. Kegel, maybe it would certainly be one area, but I suspect there's others.
Well, we use that just as an example.
Yeah, okay, let's use that. Let's deal specifically with the right of way. If you want an interesting lesson in history, just take a look at what the right of ways are throughout the county. It is remarkable. Some are 60, some are 50, some are 40, some are 20, and some are 47.3. I mean, they, even on the same road, it is pretty remarkable. But let's just say the road going through the Kegel subdivision, there's a 50 probably, would you say?
They're 50 or 60.
They're
60.
Yeah, let's just say they're 60. So that's
60 what?
60 feet. 60 feet wide, 60 feet.
They had a road in there, 60
wide.
Road
mile
is 21 feet.
Well, you're talking road, I'm talking right away.
Okay. From the center of the existing road. Okay.
It'd be 30 feet on either side.
30 feet up. Very good.
Okay, so that's
perfect.
That would be, that would be the legal right away.
So then, okay.
Okay.
30 feet on each side.
So what we would do there is go through and, you know, if it had brush, and we're taking, you know, talking about bitter brush or sage or that type of stuff, we'd probably go through and, you know, mow that down to something like about that, 4 inches. Because if we go in and frankly, pull that out by the roots and mess with the dirt, what you're going to wind up with is noxious weeds, cheap grass and thistle and that type of stuff. So we found minimal soil disturbance is probably the ticket. And then what we do is go through there and your question was live trees. Yeah, we'll have to take out some live trees. There's no question about that. Now, do we take them off? Probably not. But we would thin them out. We do the ladder field. We limb them up. We start from the bottom, come up to where you'd have about 80% crown of the road. And you'd basically look at that and say, okay, if there was a fire here, we've made this safe enough to where the mayor could drive down in her car back and forth, or more importantly, the fire department could come in and out safely, either to fight the fire or to get out in case. So that would be the, and so it's not a moonscape, it is not a clear cut, and in some cases we have to look at what was growing there, what the spacing, so it's not a a recipe once I fits all. So that's how we'd handle right-of-ways. Now then, let's talk about, could we run into this? You know, let's say this is the 60 feet, this is the center of the road. Now let's say, you know, we've had vegetation encroached over years, and then we have a lot of these in the county. And in some places, not only have we had vegetation encroached, we've had things like fences, driveways, and those kind of things. Our business is to treat fuels. Our business is not to tear down fences or make someone upset. So if there's a, if there's 60 and 10 foot with a fence in there, not my issue to solve. My issue is to treat the fuels and, you know, do our best to meet the objectives of improving the safety from ingress egress. And you have the fourth one was private lands, which is different than, you know, a designated right-of-way. Let's say we've got a piece of private land that belongs to somebody, and it is a deed of fire hazard, and I know where a few of those are in the county. If the private landowner doesn't want to do anything with that, then that's, you know, certainly their choice. What we have done in Newberry Estates, Ponderosa Pines, and other places, if we can get a neighborhood, an area together that says, you know, we've got 30 properties in here, they're vacant lots, and it's a fire hazard, and the private property owners would like to have some help clearing those lots, then we get a waiver that basically says, you know, we'll allow, you know, the county and its contractors to come in there and treat this private land to the principal space standards, and, you know, thank you very much for the effort. So we do that kind of work too, but what it's absolutely impossible for us to say, okay, we got one lot in Ponderosa Pines and one in Newberry Estates and one in Six and Dorrance. We really like to, you know, if I'm going to have, you know, spend some money in a neighborhood, I'd really like to, you know, do the roads, do the private property, all that together, rather than to, you know, chase it all over the county. That answer your question?
Yes, very good. Thank you very much.
Can I just ask real quick? There's a lot of property, a lot of vacant lots that are owned by people out of state. I happen to be involved in the situation where I live. I have two pieces of property that are next to a number of uninhabited, never seen anybody in, you know, 8 years come by it. I've talked to the county because there's nothing but there's some really old fall down in there. I mean, and the problem is I have one narrow half-mile dirt road to get myself and my horses and everything in and out of. It really concerns me that I've got all of this. We've done, my husband and I have done a really good job. We've got a tractor, we've done backhoe work, cutting, you know, we've tried to keep everything cleared. And when I contacted the county about this, they basically said, well, we don't really, I says, can't you contact the owners and let them know this is endangering not just us, but there's neighborhoods right next to us. And basically they said that it isn't anything they have any authority to do.
That's exactly right. The Oregon Department of Forestry in this area has the wildland responsibility. Those properties are covered. If it's classified as high density extreme, there's a standard for the principal space on those lots. You know, the county is, you know, not a fire department, and we have nothing in code that says if you don't treat your property, then we're going to come and do it for you. We are having a lot of success with voluntary compliance, and you know, I will promise you that, you know, if I work for the county another 30 years, I'm never going to get all those lots. I'm going to get a lot of them, and I get a lot of them by neighbors talking to neighbors. And
it's about 20 to 40 acres.
Yeah, it is very difficult for the absentee landowners. You know, you don't have a chance to see them in meetings and talk to them, and we're simply not going to get them all. But I will tell you this, that after 42 fire seasons, if you do your work defensible space around your property, you might not like what the neighbor's property looks like when it has a fire, but you're going to be fine where you're at, and that's important. Okay. That's really important. You need to regain your responsibility, and we simply aren't going to get them, but we'll get as many as we can.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
We need to talk about what the city needs to do to buy into this. We have a lot to cover still tonight.
Did you have more information to give us?
I just need, what would be helpful is that, I'll send a draft agreement on the biomass area, the partnership, and then what would help me is if you would send me either someone to work with, a contact, to go and look over some priorities of those neighborhoods, streets, in and around Lapine that you'd like me to look at and prioritize to put the projects together. If you can do those two things for me, obviously, if you approve of my suggestions, then we can move forward.
Okay. Any more council questions or comments?
No.
Is council would like to enter into a partnership, sponsorship? What do we call this?
Well, partnership is a good way to call
partnership.
It. Partnership?
Yeah. With the county on this? Councilor Greiner?
What would you like me to say?
I was just wondering if people want to move forward on this. If you think it's a good thing for us to do. And if so, how we need to word the motion to do so. We need a motion to... What is it that you're... He's defining it.
Move forward with a partnership with the county concerning wood debris removal and fuels treatment. It sounds like the county will produce agreements for us.
Yeah, and we've got some simple agreements. For government, they're really simple. Like, they're only a couple pages. And, we can include both the woody debris, and certainly also the right of way
perfect
stuff and
it'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. And you'll be in contact then with Joe to work on this or how?
Sure. We'll figure it out.
All right then. I will call for a motion to move forward with a partnership with the county for woody debris removal and fuels treatment.
I so move.
Second? Seconded. I think we all agree on that. All right. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McPhee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Kleiner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Very good. Okay. Next item is... Number 7, comprehensive plan.
Thank you.
Next steps. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for answering my questions. We'll move forward.
James, did you want to hand out the helps?
Get your
help. What we'd like to do tonight is introduce ourselves again. Over the past year, we've seen a lot of faces in the crowd and worked with a lot of citizens, but I think it's important for this particular update to give you just a brief overview of what's been accomplished in this last year and why we're here tonight. My name's Deborah McMahon. I own BMC Consulting Services, and with me tonight is James Lewis, who owns Forterra. I'm going to read the last part.
LLC.
LLC. And together we've been meeting with Lapine citizens and different agencies to go over the legal requirements for preparing Lapine's first comprehensive plan. And meeting with citizens is the most critical feature of our task. Very early on in the grant, it was determined that the citizens and the level of livability that Lapine's citizens had asked for needed to drive the components in the comprehensive plan. And so a lot of the text that you see is a direct result of the information we received from people at our public hearings. And we also have to make sure that when we get that information,
we're able to craft it into responses to the state on how we meet the goals. And so if you've had a chance to look at the comprehensive plan as it's evolved over the last year, you'll see that in the first section, we talk about how we meet the state's land use planning goals. And then we talk about, chapter by chapter, the kinds of things we heard from the public on how they want their community to look. As part of that, we produced a visual map which does two things. Examines the existing zoning that we have and how the future should look over the next 20 years, because we're required by law to accommodate growth over that 20-year period. And so, with the help of citizens, it was determined that to keep livability, to have that neighborhood feel, to make sure that the elements of the external community were also met in the natural environment, you'll see on this map, you've got your zones, and then the community is broken into three primary neighborhoods. And that's an important theme in the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan is very much focused on complete neighborhoods, and then if you have complete neighborhoods, you have a complete community. So we don't have people driving long distances to get goods and services, that each neighborhood is organic and has an ability to support itself. So kids can walk to school, people can ride their bikes if necessary, they can use alternate modes of transportation, which is also a state goal that we're required to adhere to, and they can look at open space and recreational areas within the short distance of where they live. All these things together create a complete neighborhood, as well as looking at places for people to have employment lands. So that's the purpose of having the three different neighborhoods, and you'll see the zoning in each of those areas has components that we have listed today as meeting those complete neighborhood requirements, or there are things in the future that we'll have to look to develop as time goes on to make that neighborhood complete. And also on this map, I just want to make sure that you see we've identified the BLM transfer potentials. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that everybody understands that inside the city limits, which is quite large, we have opportunities to get land from the federal government that will be transferred to the county and then available for local jurisdictional use. And it's important on the east side because as the community grows, we're going to need more land to deal with sewage treatment. And having that BLM land will make that much easier for the community to deal with its long-term needs in treating local sewage. So with that, what I'd like to do is have James talk a little bit about the changes that we've listed from the Planning Commission hearings. And as you know, the Planning Commission has recommended to you, as the City Council, approval of the comprehensive plan with these changes. And these are things that came out of the public meetings and the Planning Commission's review, page by page, of the comprehensive plan document.
I guess with that, all of you received a memorandum that we drafted, put together last week in your packets. And what we did in there, this is very similar to the final memorandum that we gave to the Planning Commission. And that was based on everything that Debbie said, the public hearing that were held, the comments that the public gave, the deliberation that the Planning Commission had, and the direction they gave us. We summarized all of the comments that we heard from the Planning Commission, the changes that they wanted, and we put them in that memorandum to them. Subsequently, they went through the last meeting. All of these issues that we listed, I know Councilor Ward was there, some of the councilors were there, and you heard some of that discussion. And what they did is they recommended to this draft, that's been the public draft now since the kind of middle to end of last summer, that's been on the city webpage, is all the changes that are listed in here. Okay, and so the thing, I guess, taking you through these sections, the first one where we have the general changes toward the bottom of page one, those are a lot of changes, and you can jump into here too, that some of these were on some data changes, is that up until the point where the city council recommends and adopts a final comprehensive plan document, there may be some data that changes, and we want to have the most accurate data in the document at the time that you adopt it.
A good example is if the state releases economic data that we want to have reflected in the Lapine plan. We all know the last 2 years have been very turbulent.
a lot of the data we had to use didn't recognize the economic crisis. So we have to have the most up-to-date data. That may come just a couple days before you guys make your final decision, and it wouldn't be smart of us to ignore that. So those are the kinds of things.
Another one is like at the top of page 2, or item number 6, it says refined transportation data. Subsequently, if ODOT and the city and Leedy come together and there's the corridor plan become the corridor study for the Pine, you know, and it, when it comes to fruition, that may be something that we acknowledge in the comprehensive plan. So again, those are just geared toward adding things up into the last minute to make sure it's the most up-to-date document.
And it doesn't change the theme of the plan. It's just technical data that needs to go in so that you have the best plan going forward.
The next section on page 2 is specific text changes. And those are 7 items and some policies listed under item number 7. Those items, we have begun drafting those, so we have a draft transition area that is discussed in item number 1. You know, the Planning Commission said include a clear statement on the transition area regarding the county property, because there were some comments from the county Board of Commissioners saying here's what we would like, considered in your comprehensive plan. The Planning Commission heard that, directed us to make those changes. So without going through each one of those, and unless, you know, you want to, we are in the process of drafting those sections of text according to each one of those items, and they will be put into a draft document. That draft document will then be what is subject to your public hearing, which is the next step, which we'll talk about in a little bit. What we hope to do, format so it's easy for the public and easy for you as counselors, is we will draft some language according to these directions under the text changes. We will create a new draft document, a new thick draft document. We didn't want to do it every time because we start to get multiple copies of a 140-page document and it becomes very cumbersome. But we will take all of those proposed changes, we will put it into a new document that will be now the new public draft, the public review draft that you will have your public hearing on. But also, for the council, for the Planning Commission, and for the public, we will also take those sections that we kind of inserted in here, and we will put them in a separate document so you can see specifically what has changed from the first draft to the second draft. But they'll all be in the second draft, so if somebody just picked up this, they'd know exactly what is the subject of the public hearing that you will have. And I'll go through this, and then we can go through some of the specifics. On page 3 is the specific map changes. There was an old draft map. That one hanging right there, that was the last draft before this draft that is before you. Unlike what we said we would do with the text, because the text gets more cumbersome, we just went ahead and made these 5 changes, and that's what you have to that map, and that's what you see on this map.
Citizens made it really clear that to have an illustration of what was happening to their property and in their neighborhood was very important. In some cases, they really focus on the map versus the text. So we wanted to make sure that the map had the latest changes so that people who just really are only visual can get their comments back to us.
And then, so subsequently, you'll see the same changes in this draft, but it's a little more cumbersome to go through 144 pages rather than look at one map. And then the last section is recommended new policies. When you go back up to the specific text changes, you should say 7A through H above. It says add new policies related to, and A says indicate, just as an example, that the city will participate in discussions related to future airport creation as part of the transportation advisory group. What we recommended, what the Planning Commission deliberated on and recommended to you, is that in relation to that issue, that a policy be recommended to you that says the City of La Pine believes that a city representative should participate with a transportation advisory group for the specific purpose of analyzing the need for an airport in the La Pine area. The representative shall be appointed by the City Council and will have specific knowledge of airport needs and operations. That's an example of an issue that was raised by the public at the public hearing in front of the Planning Commission. Planning Commission believed that was a valid issue to address. We came back as consultants and said, here's a proposed policy. They went through this document, they had their deliberation, and they felt that that was a good policy to include, to recommend to you for inclusion in the comp plan. And the subsequent policies below that all address those same issues with specificity. So again, these are the changes as recommended by the Planning Commission. We are currently drafting the text changes. And barring any specific direction that we get from you tonight, we will move forward and make those changes, prepare the draft, and schedule your public hearing. And so with that,
there's just one last thing. James and I are in constant contact with the DLCD representative for this region, and he assists us to make sure that we're aware of the latest changes in state law, what trends the people at the state would like us to focus on. And as we make these adjustments, he follows everything that's happening in reading the documents and giving us suggestions to make sure that we get a passing grade when it goes from you to the state. And one of the things that he mentioned is that the city of Lapine has a large city limits, very large. You have enough land to grow for the 20-year period and then some. The state, in its recent review of other cities' comprehensive plans, has been looking for things called transition planning and looking for ways to identify large tracts of land for specific uses so that it's clear to the community what may be happening over time. That one use may not just be residential forever. I'm going to give you an example. The BLM transfer land. Before that's needed for the sewer treatment facility, there may be other uses that can be put on there. We know this area has to serve as a wildfire interface zone as well, and that there are issues related to fire protection that have to occur on that land. That's a secondary use to the sewage treatment, which is the ultimate use. In the meantime, we have seen the state and the federal government release a significant amount of grant funds for alternate energy. And the reason that we bring this up is Barbara Hedges and I attended a federal appropriations workshop where there's a significant amount of money being distributed to small communities that are taking lands that aren't needed right now for growth and putting upon them energy producing devices such as solar and having the ability to produce energy to attract business. And being able to have that solar be an attractant for other grants. So that's something that's new. We didn't have a chance to talk about that with the Planning Commission, but it is something that the federal government is moving towards, and as a small community that's growing, Lapine should be able to recognize that and have a note on the map that says this area is available for a transitional energy production. And it'll help you with things, particularly, for example, in Prineville. They have a huge user that came in that needs energy and water for a 150,000 square foot building that houses data storage. A great use. It'd be wonderful for Liggy to get that kind of opportunity. And having grants available to produce energy would be something that would entice that kind of user to Lapine. So we want to make sure we label the map so that we have every opportunity available.
So I guess if the council had questions right now specific to any of the memorandum, there are some of the planning commissioners here, and was typical when you've gone through this before, is that we as your consultants can answer questions related to these, and oftentimes the planning commissioners will be able to offer you what was going through their heads as they deliberated to answer questions. If you said, well, how did you get to that policy? It was their recommendation, and oftentimes they offer good support for that as well. We can go through some questions, we can go through these, but subsequently we're also going to want to take you through what Deborah and I did is we put together, because there's coordination with the county that still needs to happen, a list of tasks that need to occur before adoption by the city can actually happen. And if you remember, way back in the beginning, we talked about that the county needs to amend their, they're in the middle of a comprehensive plan update, but they need to amend their comprehensive plan specifically to, as Deborah puts it, extract the city of Lapine and references to the city of Lapine comprehensive, in their comprehensive plan from their own comprehensive plan. They are, they need to have planning commission hearings, and they also need to take this before the board for actual ordinances to be adopted to adopt findings and changes to their comprehensive plan. There will subsequently be a probably a joint meeting of some sort between the city council and the board of commissioners to discuss issues. What we've been working with city staff on right now, and is that there may be some confusion, but the county is not really making comments or adopting the city's comprehensive plan. So they have made a request at some point that they maybe there may be a joint hearing between the city council and the board of commissioners to kind of expedite things. But what the county is doing is taking testimony on changes to their comprehensive plan to pull out language referring to Lapine, while your public hearing is on this document itself.
Yeah.
The county commissioners, and as a body, they're a partner agency, but actually they're a commenter on this plan, because it is your plan, rather than an approver or reviewer of this plan. So does that,
yeah,
make sense?
Yeah, I didn't really see the need for a joint hearing.
Well, that's, we recommended that there's not a joint hearing. There's separate hearing, separate deliberation,
yeah,
but you have a joint meeting to discuss.
Yeah.
Here's what we did in our plan, how we considered what you brought up, and they say, here's what we considered and changes to our comp plan and how we extracted Lapine from our comprehensive plan, just so there's a joint meeting of minds to
have that, understand.
Because you'd have this ultimately this interface area, you know, the county land about the city land.
Yeah. Okay.
So, again, if there are any specific, as we read through this memorandum, the changes to this draft, or way back on the draft, anything, because I know, Councilor, you had some specific comments and you hadn't been able to participate in this in the past. Well, so,
first of all, I object to the word shall being used all through that document.
Okay.
Shall means that we're required to do it. It doesn't give us any flexibility at all. It doesn't make any difference whether there's money, whether there isn't money, or whether we can find the volunteers that we need for certain committees and subcommittees that you've got. You show that the city of Lapine, according to your document, has 1,610 residents, at least the last data that you had, and you estimate by 2025 that there will be a total of 2,800. Now that doesn't give us much of a pool additional to what we have to serve on all of these documents and to pay for all of this stuff that we've got in there that says you shall do it. And that to me is a big concern. One other concern that I had was there are certain streets in the town that are not paved, and according to your document, the county does not maintain those roads. However, if the city accepts those roads, we also accept the maintenance to a road that the county won't maintain. And again, we're sitting at a point where we don't have the budgetary money to go ahead and do a lot of that. And it isn't that I object to the fact that we should be doing some of these things. I object to the fact that we're according, if you use the word shall, we're mandated to do them whether we have the money or not. I think that we ought to have flexibility and be able to move ahead and do the things that we can as quickly as we can and as soon as funds are available without overtaxing our residents. That's my point. Thank you.
Good comments.
Good.
Let me start at the top with the word shall. It is laced through the document. A lot of these comments came from citizens. I understand your monetary issues. Do you have an alternative you'd like us to use, or is this something that the council wants to discuss? Because in some cases, you want to make sure you're meeting the state law through the goals, and you want to make sure that, you know, people understand that the comprehensive plan is not your budget document. It's something that projects how the community should look
over a 20-year period. So it's not something that says you have to spend money right now. That can be confusing, and we can certainly clarify that so that your issues are addressed in terms of what does this mean? Is this an unfunded mandate? How does this work in the real world when things like taking over roads are mentioned? The second thing with population, I just briefly want to point out that the state and the county and the city agree to have a coordinated population forecast, and that work's been done. The city's accepted that, and the state has accepted that. So we have to work with those numbers. But I'll let you know that in the comprehensive plan, we've also put in a couple of statements that help us manage and monitor that population growth every couple of years or so. So that if something doesn't look like it's right and we're growing faster than the population projection says we should, then we've got a way to manage and adjust that number. But for now, we have to use that coordinated population forecast.
Well, I have no problem with that. It was just a matter that if those figures are correct, it's going to limit us on the amount of money that we're going to take in to do the shall projects. And as far as a word to use in place of that, I'd refer that to our attorney to make sure that we came up with the right word that would fit.
And one other thing is that, again, it's the council's direction here. Just addressing that comment of the shalls is that Gil said a couple things. One is that a lot of it was based upon public input. So the public, through their public hearings, gave definitive direction in some cases where they think, well, this would be nice to do, which is kind of more like a should or could or would, or these are things that we want done. And so that's where the shalls come from a lot of times. And a lot of them, you got to remember, I think I have to point out that this document is, it's a policy, it's a direction. And so the shalls give a definitive direction that the city wants to go. So some of the shalls give direction to things that would be included in the implementing ordinance, which is the zoning code. So if you say the city shall consider
adopting a sign code
or design restrictions or guidelines, they're things that would be implemented in an ordinance. So they're good points. I went throughout there. Is there a way to differentiate between those many items, which are very significant issues, versus some of the maybe things that just go into your zoning?
Well, I didn't make myself clear. I don't think that all of the shells should be removed, but there's a lot of them in there that, in my opinion, a different word could be used.
Yeah, something that doesn't make it sound like you're necessarily bound to have to spend funds on such and such within a certain
time period. It's over a 20-year period, so you can do it your next.
Yeah, but then...
Lady back there.
The word plans, would that work in some of those? The city plans?
That could work.
I'm sure. I mean, I think it's case by case ultimately, right? It's all about the context.
Yeah.
And also the shalls could be qualified.
Yes.
You know, with consider or there's just so many different ways to approach it.
Okay.
But I think your concerns, it sounds like James and Deborah have noted your concerns, and maybe just a secondary review of the document to confirm that the intent is actually expressed accurately as necessary or warranted.
And there may be some explanation that these may be the expressions of the community at this point in time. Strong language is used in the document, but it's all subject to the availability of funds. And if you don't have the funds, you can't do it.
Is that clear, though, when you read the document?
Well, we'll have to go through and do a word search and make some assumptions there, because we understand where Councilor Greiner is coming from, and obviously if you don't have money, you won't be able to accomplish the goal.
For some reason, when you said that, and I have to go back through the beginning part of the document, because we start focusing on the chapters rather than some of the introduction, we can include a policy statement, but I thought maybe we had something in there getting to that very thing that says, it's the disclaimer, except as limited by funding to do so.
Mm-hmm. You know? It sounds like something we've already done, but
these are the things we say we are going to do, except
There's 129 pages in this document. I read it since Monday morning. And I'm still waiting. And I've looked at every graph and everything that's in here, and I tried to analyze it as best I could, and I feel it's a great document. However, I feel that unless our citizens are willing to pony up some cash, then we'd best revise and be able to meet what they want as funds become available or as they can be budgeted.
Yeah. How about we Glenn here is we could include a disclaimer or a statement in there that says funding for these ideas will will limit what we can do. And we could also go back through all of those policy statements and identify those which would, rather than just saying it's a provision that you want to include in your zoning ordinance, which have significant dollar issues that could be attributed to. And I'd pull those out and say, here are the ones that really have the dollars. And then you guys could, without looking through all the other hundreds of policies that are
there. What would satisfy me is just to make sure that we're in the clear so that our citizens know that if they want this specific project done and done immediately, it's going to cost money, and we're going to ask to have some more money so that we can pay for it. It's not that we're trying to hide anything. It's we want them more clear for us so they know what has to be paid for and what hasn't, what we can delay.
Okay.
Okay, I want to make sure that the council as a whole gives us direction, because what I'm hearing is that things that are connected to the word shall that could possibly direct the council to make expenditures and to make sure that the citizens understand that they may be required to participate with this as a community as well is understood. It may be limited because there are going to be times when there aren't funds, and it's because the comprehensive plan can change from time to time. Those policies may change as well. So we need to put a statement in that talks about that, because if there's a limitation on funding and we want to make the citizens aware that these are the goals they want, they may have to help pay for that too. Mm-hmm. You have to put that language in. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's too many words, but that's the concept I'm hearing. I want to make sure I see it.
We might not have money to pay for it if you want it.
Yeah,
have to pay
yeah,
for it.
That's what I got.
So you know,
same thing.
I don't know.
I know that's what I got from it, and I agree. I think it's a very good point that you make.
So as long as it doesn't change the tone of the document,
for the most part, it won't. A lot of the shells, and I'm just scanning right now, are things related to citizen involvement that there's hardly anybody would say. How should you? Yeah, we have to do that.
I was looking at the part like in coordination, like in the parks and recreation section. A lot of them say, the city shall encourage the continual involvement of private recreation providers to the citizens. Those are things that you're asking citizens to, if they can, as part of the development, create some recreational opportunities. Those are things that you're saying you shall pursue those, and maybe something then it gets put in your zoning code that says, with any subdivision that's done, the developer shall look at ways of providing recreation. It doesn't cost you anything, but it's definitive direction to the community that you think
it's just
citizens
tough.
Pulling up, pulling
sure
up recreation.
I wouldn't object to.
Okay.
And I said, shall doesn't have a time frame anyway.
Limited by 20 years.
Yeah. Or
Or your ability to say we want to have public hearing and revise our document. So you always have control over the document. That's the beauty of it.
So do I see general agreement that we should stuff something like that in to temper it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
On the specific text changes, 1 through 7, number 7, add new policies related to, okay, the policies, the uses. How are the policies, give me an example of how a policy is incorporated into the...
What we would end up doing is, for example, like 7A, where we talk about transportation, and where we say the city of Lapine believes that representatives should be on the Transportation Advisory Group, as they would be incorporated into the appropriate section, chapter of the Comprehensive Plan. So, for example, Chapter 8 of the Comprehensive Plan is Transportation. So, at the back of that chapter, where all the policies are listed, we would propose that that policy, which is related to a transportation issue, go into that section.
Okay.
Just like that.
So those are the policy statements.
These are the actual policy statements that the Planning Commission recommended go into the document. They would be inserted in the appropriate chapter. Okay. Another example is...
Okay, so a policy and a policy statement are the same thing?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So like item C, which talks about Lapine possibly being looked at as regional sewer in the future, that would be proposed to go into Chapter 7, Public Facilities and Services.
That's going to be my next question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Indicate that the city of Lapine should be considered as a regional sewer treatment area.
Yeah.
The entire city. What does it mean?
It recognizes that properties outside the city limits may need to have sewage treatment. And instead of having district and district and district and then the city also having sewage treatment, it's logical and state recommended that the city of Lapine be the potential for dealing with sewage in the future. So that a subdivision just outside the city limits that all of a sudden had failings and no way to deal with their problem, it would be very expensive for them to do their own district. They could look at joining the sewer district and piping that to the city for treatment.
Okay.
Currently, the state law prohibits, that's why that language there, prohibits extending sewer service outside of an urban growth boundary. And so, for example, like on your map, some of these subdivisions out here could not get sewer service. Some of the deliberation that the Planning Commission had, and that was a recommendation by, it was a citizen recommendation, I remember it specifically, and it was a county commission question and recommendation. But some of the comments were that in looking at potential funding for the sewer district and or when the city takes that over, it's also, you're providing service, but it's a source of additional funding for continuing sewer services for the city. So that was looked at, and you're fixing a need, but you're also generating some funding for it as well.
You've all read the bulletin story, I'm sure, on Ben's troubles in getting their UGB expanded and doing some planning work. James and I coordinate very carefully with the state to make sure that we're not going to fall into similar pitfalls. And one of the things that came up that DLCD recommended is that where we have large swaths of land, just like this BLM land, and sewer again, that we notate in the plan and on the map that this will be available for future sewage treatment should it be needed for areas outside the city. That will help us because the state, there's some people at the state who believe that the city limits is too large, there's too much vacant land, what are you going to do with it? Well, we just need to say what the potential is.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I know there was a discussion about the educational institutions coming in with some sort of an exemption. Is that in here?
The policy is still in the draft.
Okay.
It was in there, and what it talked about is, and it's actually in, is it in public facilities or the transportation section?
Oh, it may be in the...
And we should let them know that we serve on the school coordination committee for Lapine, and we discuss the needs of Lapine school system over the next 20 years. They think possibly an additional elementary school 12 years from now. They're not anticipating a huge number of new schools altogether. Each school will have probably an expansion of a wing or so, but in terms of standalone new facilities, they're thinking in year 12 from now, there may be a need for an elementary school.
And I can't find exactly where it is, but with regard to public facilities, water, sewer, and transportation, what you're referring to, as we brought it up in the past, is that there's a draft policy in here, because we hear this from the school district all the time, is that the city, well, there's a couple things. The city is directing itself to create system development charges, to establish system development charges for transportation right now, and subsequently water and sewer. one of the policies in here, though, is that in trying to foster educational opportunities, is that you would not charge system development charges to the school district for the establishment of new schools. And that's a big policy question.
And it's an important one, because what we've seen is that a focus on children and education is healthy for a community. We see it in transportation, where if you design transportation systems for children and pedestrians, everything else pretty much falls into place. Those are key priorities. Same thing for education. It's an important thing to realize that kids who are in the schools come from homes that typically have paid an SDC or live in the community. So it's a matter of where you want to put your priorities and encouraging different values and different elements in the community. And what we heard from the public was that education was important, as well as many other things. But that education was important. Let's not create obstacles to making our educational system better.
And it could be as much as, if you think through the usage of schools, because basically what you're doing is system development charges are offsetting or paying for the impact that the facility is going to have. Water, sewer, schools could potentially have a lot of water sewer usage, depending, you know, gymnasiums, showers, facilities. But transportation, an example is a lot of transportation analysis and impacts are based upon like your PM peak hour, 4:30 to 5:30 PM. Mm-hmm. So for a residential subdivision, that's when people are going to and from work, so homes pay a transportation system development charge. Schools at 5 p.m. on general, on an everyday basis, are really not generating a lot of traffic. And that's what system development charges are based on a lot of times, is analysis that looks at that period. Mm-hmm. So it's not, it would be no system development charge for any of them, or all of them or none of them. It could be maybe you like water and sewer because there's some impact there, but you don't think it's appropriate for transportation.
And schools always pay sewer charges for their daily use and water charges for their daily use. And in some cases, they may have to improve an intersection because it's critical to their function. But SDCs, and we'll talk about that more as time goes on, is really a different animal.
Yeah, and that's the key point, is it doesn't unobligate, or whatever the correct terminology would be, from mitigating direct impacts that they would have when a facility is built. You need to improve the intersection, you improve the intersection.
So, where do we go from here?
Well, we need to talk about a timeline, because it's absolutely critical that we keep marching forward and continue our good progress. It's phenomenal that in a year we've been able to get the public really galvanized to give us all the data. But if we slow down, we're going to have problems, because we have new city rules. And as you know, the city is required to have its comprehensive plan in place by a certain time period. And in order to implement that plan, you have to have ordinances that are used for managing new development within your community. So the comprehensive plan is step one. You can't really do a zoning ordinance update or a new zoning ordinance very well unless you know where you're going, and the comprehensive plan tells you where you're going. So we want to go over a timeline. It's fairly aggressive, but you know, we're doing everything we can. The Planning Commission's been great to go through this and give us a recommendation for approval to you. The next step is setting up the hearings. Okay.
And some of those hearings have to be coordinated with just some protocol issues with regard to when you have your hearings, when do you do adoption of the plan in relation to the county, even though they're adopting amendments to their plan and they're not adopting this. How is that coordination done in a proper protocol where either party is adopting something way out ahead of the other party and saying, no, I don't care what you think.
But at what point are we going to be ready to schedule a hearing?
Well, I'm going to give you some dates. You had a work session today, which is January 13th. We were looking at a city council public hearing on February 10th. That would be your first meeting in February.
Okay.
So that is today's the 12th, that's 29 days from today, 4 weeks from today, essentially, a month from today.
Yeah.
What that does is it gives us time to send out public notice, and then those textual changes, we'll be able to produce a new draft and get you and the public a draft with the changes of the plan, and then all of it pulled out in a separate document so you can easily see what that, those text changes. And then you would have your first public hearing. Then, aside, going parallel with that, is because of notice procedures that the county would be doing, it's a little bit different, it's extended. Their Planning Commission public hearing would be on February 25th. They've already scheduled that date.
Mm-hmm. So this is for their comp plan?
For their comp plan. I know it gets confusing, but you're adopting a new comp plan and they're getting rid of your reference to the City of La Pine and their comp plan.
Okay, how are we on our schedule for that far out, that February 10th, as far as you know, that would work for us?
Everybody has a February calendar.
I know, but you're the one who knows the projects, what things we do in Germany, what we have coming up, what we're working on, what deadlines do we have. And while you're doing that, I have my handy dandy little sign up sheet here with nobody signed up. but I have allowed especially comment anyway from others in the audience, and James back there wanting to say something, so.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know I had a question. Just going way back to when you were talking about this exact thing about the county, mm-hmm. their county comprehensive plan, that they have to have their planning session. So that means that the city is reliant upon the county completing what their portion is in removing the city before they can move forward.
No.
Okay.
but there is let's say you live outside the city but you use the city for all your services, the county's gonna their amendment should be really simple. It's extracting and saying we're no longer responsible for this, but there's still some things that they have to address, and you may have comments to both the county and the city, and so as a member of the public, you may be trying to see if I live outside the city but I get all my services in the city, are there things that I want both jurisdictions to consider as they're going through their hearing process? And so you don't want one jurisdiction far out ahead of the other. Doesn't mean that the city can't move forward.
Okay.
I mean, we're suggesting that you go forward with the city council hearing at the next meeting, well in advance before they even have their planning commission. But what you may want to do is leave the record open and continue the hearing for maybe another
meeting.
Okay.
And
Jeremy, does some sound good? Do you?
No,
yep.
That's our regular meeting.
It's a regular meeting, right?
After the first review deadline.
Because you may anticipate more people than this room can hold, I'll check with the Senior Center in Mid-State to see how they're looking on that date, too.
Yeah.
That's just as a coordination item.
Pretty sure the Senior Center will be open.
Okay.
Sure.
So what is it
going to
be called?
The final plan? What you'll see is...
it's a public hearing document.
Okay. City Council, the notice will probably say City Council public hearing on final public draft of the City of La Pine Comprehensive Plan and Urban Growth Boundary. We'll call it the final public hearing draft.
So will this hearing then be incorporated into our regular meeting?
You could open your meeting and go to the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Take testimony, examine any issues, leave the record open, and then move on to your next item on the agenda.
Okay. How long would you anticipate for the hearing? Any idea?
You don't know, but it's like the Planning Commission meeting, and you can limit the amount of the minutes of testimony. If you see 100 people show up, if 10 people show up, you can.
We've had anywhere from 30 to 70 people, so and all of you have attended most of those citizen involvement meetings, so I would expect at least a couple dozen.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you may have questions that you have for the public. You may have questions that you want us to answer at the end that the public raised. But it doesn't mean, and we're going to recommend to you, I can say right now that you don't deliberate and close the hearing and make a decision that night.
Mm-hmm.
Typically what you're going to do is either continue the public hearing till the next meeting, and also leave the written record open, because there may be people that come that night for the first time to hear things and they want to submit comments over the next 2-week period. So you could continue the public hearing and leave the written record open until your next meeting.
Yeah.
try to regather information the public to speak on. Then at the next meeting, hearing nothing new, you can close the public hearing, close the written comment, and deliberate and make a recommendation, which would be to adopt it as it is or suggest additional changes based on what you heard.
Yeah. Okay. So what do we have? We have February 10th as the first hearing.
Yes.
And it looks like that date would work. It would be part of your regular agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find the proper venue. And then what you'll do is you'll have a document before you. It'll look very familiar and have all the changes included that we've discussed tonight. And then you'll open the hearing, and then the public will be able to come forward and say, hey, on page 6, you know, I see this thing, and I want you to consider that. And then, you know, you'll just be taking that testimony. And then you'll go through all the steps that James had just mentioned.
I would expect that what you would see is after the close of the public hearing, you will then, maybe at your next meeting, have deliberation and you may adopt something. We would come back to you with a staff report that would be very similar to this memorandum, which summarizes all the Planning Commission's issues, but it would say, okay, here's everything that the City Council raised. We would summarize all of your comments and say, here's what we heard from you to make changes to the last draft. And do you guys all agree with that?
Okay. Anything else? Questions? Or are we going
to... Now you might know nothing happens fast.
Huh?
You know why nothing
it's
happens
fast. It's your work
really
session,
fast.
So this is really for you.
It's not a hearing tonight. It's just a work session to kind of give you next steps and an update.
So I was just wondering if we are finished with that item, so when you let Mr. Martinez get his business done.
This looks like he's
finished. I just wanted to thank publicly by telling me that at the creation meeting, I think that was really important that we understand that and see if there's anything available.
Yeah, there are things, and the Merkley's office put on that work session. They work jointly with Wyden. There are some areas that I think are valuable for us to apply money for. We want to do it strategically. I have a meeting coming up with their staffs, their joint staffs, David Blair, and the other guy's name, I just can't remember. But I think it's critical that we, as a new community, get as many grants as possible, particularly for the things that Obama's willing to push money towards. That's really important for the mind.
There didn't seem to be a lot of federal vote.
Well, the energy stuff I thought was very,
energy,
very...
energy, wastewater, but...
those are actually the two areas.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Very much.
Thank you.
You're almost there.
You guys still have a long drive.
There's the light in the tunnel.
It's been a fun journey, too.
It is.
Well,
We will move on to item number 8, resolution number 2010-01. Homeless garbage fee increases. And we had this brought before us, what, a couple of months ago?
A month ago,
but we didn't have the resolution itself ready. Has everyone had an opportunity to read it, understand it?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What we're doing?
We don't have any choice here.
No.
Well?
I don't know if we have a choice or not.
Well, it's minimal, so, you know, the increase, I thought.
Let's face it, we all want our garbage pickup to continue, so. Do we need any discussion, or?
No.
I like those. And I don't know why we didn't just move this right up on the agenda, but this just gave us at least a one-person bigger audience for the complicated stuff.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I was saying, I don't know why I didn't move this up on the agenda to get it done earlier for you, but then on the other hand, it just gave us a one-person bigger audience for everything else that we were doing. So it's always nice to have a good audience. Okay. This is, hold on a second, the resolution, so do we have to read it? But
the title.
The title.
And it's in the agenda. Do you mind if that's Stu a question?
No.
Stu, have you reviewed the resolution?
I haven't seen it.
Go
ahead. Do you want to see it?
I'm sorry, I assume we go back with you.
It should be written on time. So what we're simply doing is attach the fee schedule you gave us.
Okay, as there is no discussion, I would like to have the city recorder please read resolution by title.
Resolution.
And then I'll call for a motion.
Okay. Resolution number 2010-01. A resolution authorizing a fee increase for wilderness garbage and recycling service to reflect an increase in garbage disposal fees imposed by Deschutes County, Oregon.
Thank you. We've already established there's no discussion. I will entertain a motion to what we do? Pass?
Approve.
To approve. Must be getting tired. To approve the resolution.
I so move.
You don't want to get that out of here.
Should we second it?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
You moved?
I didn't move yet.
Okay.
We have a second. Everybody second.
Assigned it to somebody. We had a second. We just moved and seconded. We'll take a roll call vote, please.
Matthew Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hitchens, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brown, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Very good. Next order of business. City Recorder Authority to order city road work. Order that should be emergency city road work. I don't know. Yeah.
At this point, if there's any emergency road work that needs to be done, we have to come before the city council for approval, and I'd like to ask the council to place some form of...
I can't hear.
Why don't you just come
in? Okay.
That's what we need is for people to say when they can't hear.
Yep. Okay. At this point, if there is any emergency road work getting done, we would have to come before the city council to get approval for that authority to spend any money for that. And I'm just asking for some kind of authority in place for any kind of emergency road work that may be needed. So, first of all, if we were going to do that, we would have to come up with a procedure. Mm-hmm. I don't know how complicated that would be.
Just
You want me to chime in?
Sure.
What I would suggest is that Luana and I get together and prepare a memorandum for all of you with a procedure identifying, among other things, a dollar amount cap, if you will, and just lay it all out in a simple one or two page document so that you know exactly the details of this authority. As of now, the details obviously aren't in the staff report, but I think you need that in order to provide Luana direction or permission to go ahead and contract with contractors independent of the city council.
So,
go ahead.
So, I just want to, on the staff reports for the budget impacts, that the way that it stated here, that's an inadequate statement to make a decision. So we need, if this were just, we would have to base our decision on this, we don't have enough information. So we need like the dollar amount.
Mm. But how can you put a dollar amount on something that you don't know what it would cost?
That's where the research comes in.
But I can't research a catastrophe. Unless you know ahead of time what kind of emergency situation it would be, mm-hmm. it would be impossible to come up with a dollar figure on something that...
Well, so, what I would do, if I was in your case,
okay.
I'd contact a contractor
uh-huh.
and then have levels of service, whether it's like low maintenance, medium maintenance, big maintenance. It kind of gives a general idea of how much that's going to cost for each incident. That's just like a general idea.
Well, we can get, I think, you know, the contractor, the price per hour and equipment price and rock delivery price and all that kind of stuff. But again, you don't know what your emergency is going to be. So you still kind of don't know. Doug?
I think what Luana is asking for, she's asking for permission to, if there is a bona fide emergency on one of our gravel roads, that she has the authority to call a contractor and say, the road's flooded, please go out there and grade it and shovel it off. Now, we've received a number of telephone calls about Scudsgill and Railroad, however you pronounce it, that the roads are flooded and my kids can't walk to school. Luana went out and looked, and I went out and looked. Wasn't true. The road was flooded 8 feet into the road and there was still 12 feet of walking. So, you know, that's yeah. not an emergency.
Right.
But if we got a horrible rainstorm and the road was that deep in water, somebody's going to have to be able to make a decision right now, call somebody with a blade and go out there and get rid of the water. I think that's what she's asking for. And I don't think that's out of line. She's not asking for permission to gravel the roads. Just fix an emergency without coming to us. That's all. And I don't see anything wrong with that whatsoever.
And Don, would it help if there had been something in there stating how much money is in that
fund? Well, because I think that it was established that it comes out of the snowplow fund, right?
No, we have a line item for contract work.
Yes.
And it is our whole fund. We have scheduled our whole street fund for contract work.
He's got the budget.
So that we can be covered for anything that could come up. Or road work.
Okay, within that category, uh-huh. what is in there? So there's other stuff that comes out of there, right?
The snow plowing will come out of
right,
that.
Right, that's what I thought.
And any seasonal maintenance work could come out of there.
Uh-huh.
And it's just going to have to be, as we go along, it grows every month. We have money going into that pot every month, so that account is still growing. The money is there, and it can be allocated.
Suppose
we haven't even touched. We haven't even touched that fund this year yet. We've actually
I take that back. We did make one payment out of it for snow plowing.
Yes,
the first time we have even touched it this year.
Yes, so the Cato Road work didn't get done. The snow came into town.
So there should be plenty of planning.
But of course, but we did
this year.
This year.
Right.
Yes.
So.
And did you have four or five roads that were declared an emergency all of a sudden?
It's the city's obligation to make them safe. It's not.
Well, you know, that's the problem with those kind of funds. And I think cities always have those problems with your road funds. You don't know how much snow you're going to get in a year. You don't know how much severe freezing you're going to get that causes upheaval and the cracks of pavement causes potholes. You just don't know what you're going to get year after year. So it's a struggle. All you can do is come up with your best guess.
So we budgeted $190,000 into the street fund, and that's all money that comes from state gas tax revenues. And like Lavana says, we've only used whatever it cost to plow the road once so far. And under that, services, we have $15,000 budgeted for repairs and maintenance. There's plenty of money in the fund to do these things. It's just a simple matter of somebody has to have the authority to say, go fix it if it's a real, genuine emergency. We're not going to run out and plug up a couple of potholes in front of my driveway because I don't like bouncing my car in a pothole.
Right.
But if the road's flooded 2 feet deep, then somebody has to have the authority to get it fixed.
And you said a dollar amount anyway on what Luana alone could, you know, be authorized to do on her own. Did you have any comments, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, what you're obviously lacking is information. Mm-hmm. And so I would just like to suggest that I work with Luana to prepare a memorandum that provides you that information. And that also details the procedures that Luana will adhere to when declaring an emergency and soliciting the assistance of a contractor. We could bring that back to you for approval.
Okay, do we need a motion on that or just council direction?
Just a consensus would be sufficient.
That's a good idea.
That'll give us something to work from.
And included in that would be your budget issues.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
But Luana, you need to do the heavy lifting on this one.
If it was flooded 2 feet, how much gravel would that take to fill up?
A lot.
2 feet of
water. You don't do a lot of that. What you do is you ditch the side of the road, you push the water off into the off the road and the ditch. That's what you can do. Ground floor, they got no place to go. And you can't fill it up, you just push it out. It's just like having your own second screen, same thing. Floods every year, you just push it off the side of the road.
And he's the one
no place else to do it.
Oh, there's an issue.
Well, that's true.
That's what it's really good for.
Okay, our next item of business.
Excuse me, Mayor, we have consensus then from the council?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's direction.
Yeah, okay.
Consensus.
Okay.
Okay, council committee appointments. Woohoo, Doug is just dying to stay on the coax rail.
Don volunteered to. They don't like me up there anyway.
He didn't twist your arm, though.
He has a way of doing
things. Okay, well, it's sure good to have a whole council to be doing this with. Okay, I'll start right away. I'll volunteer to stay on Water and Sewer District. Does he want to fight me for it?
No, but I'll be happy to stay as the alternate backup, if that's all right with you.
Okay.
And I would like to stay on the Liddy group and the TAG group. And if Don wants to take over the COAC, I would be happy to relinquish that to him. Unless you don't want to do it, Don, it's up to you.
And Don, which one did you want me to take?
Correct, rail. I never go to the rail meetings because this is waste our time.
Okay.
So So I can take my name off of that one, too?
Yeah, if you want.
Well, you're the secondary. We do need a secondary.
I'd like to volunteer with the chamber.
Oh.
You've been going to those, haven't you?
I have.
Okay.
And Adele goes, too, so is that okay to have?
It was vacant, according to this very stuff.
Yeah, we don't have anyone assigned.
Okay.
And actually, anyone can go anytime. And do we want to just leave it like that? Go as you desire?
And three counselors can go
yes.
to those kind of functions.
We just want to talk about city business.
Sure.
Yeah.
Adele okay. wins prizes there, so she wants to keep going.
You don't like me either.
Well, you better do something. I don't think you, if you're going as a city representative, I don't know if you can accept those.
Pardon me?
If you're going as a city representative, I don't know if you can accept any.
I know. I mean, I just thought about it.
It's not a gift, though.
Okay.
No. I would like to keep my things going, too.
Okay. You're happy where you are?
I'd like to be the alternate for the TAG group.
For the which group?
TAG.
Oh, good. Well, not for many, but we'd appreciate having you.
Doug, since you like to be quiet so much, you could do the water.
Or the secondary on the water, too.
No, to shoot
the water lines
and boots in the water.
I have a problem with that whole plan.
Well, I think he does.
So who's on to shoot water lines then?
I went to it, yeah.
So are you going to be on
the... I could stay.
Oh, and Coco, Kitty, you're the alternate for that one, that they have you down. And they, and they also, on 2009, they also waived those fees as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
And then, I guess this, in 2010, I guess they're going to send you a bill based on population.
So that should be coming shortly then.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Luana, you're still the alternate on Lady?
Yeah.
Do you want to go
but
to
I'd
the
really like to
water?
Get off the Coac and Crack. It's real hard to get to those meetings.
Well, then, Don, are you agreeing to do the Coac?
Yes.
Okay, well, then, if you want to get off of that, Luana, I can be the secondary on that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
We know how much you love those.
Don't get me started, okay?
COIC.
Barbara's on that.
Barbara's on that. We don't know if she wants to stay.
You know, it's getting kind of interesting because they cancel for a football game, so that's nice. Isn't that interesting? I might add that Commissioner Unger does not approve.
Well, I know that's been a frustration for you sometimes. You've gotten there. Isn't that when you've gotten to and they haven't
their meetings? Right, but they're emailing me now.
Yeah. But do you want to stay on it?
Sure.
Okay. WTF Junction Steering Committee.
I'll stay on that. And basically, it's waiting for probably funding at this point before they can even move forward on it. Haven't really heard much about it. But.
Okay, do we need a secondary on COIC?
There is something coming up. It's February 4th. And there is something here in town that I want to go to instead. I'm going to miss it. I can't remember what it is now.
February 4th is DEQ from Taylor and mm-hmm. that's where in the fun.
It's the what?
Okay. DEQ.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would rather go to that kitchen. Than CLC.
But, and we may all want to go to that.
I hope you do.
What time is that?
Right now, we think it's 6 o'clock at the Senior Center. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's February 11th, did you say?
February 4th.
February 4th, okay.
But back to the actual question, CLIC, do we need a secondary on that? Do we want one? Do we need one? Do they require one?
They don't.
But will they accept one? Someone else to come in and play?
I was the alternate when Jenny was on it.
Okay.
So you just don't have a vote. Is it the eat pizza?
Are you up for driving to Redmond now and then?
Well, I was planning on going tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon. See, I'll be in all the mood from late.
On the CLIC? Okay. Did you get that, Patty? John says he'd be an alternate on CLIC.
I think it'd be all right with Barbara. I'd like to go with her so we kind of get to know what's going on.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. That's a great idea.
That was acceptable.
That would be perfect, yes. And these that have NA for a secondary, what was the reason for that? They're just not required, or we
just didn't have anybody assigned?
Okay.
I don't know that it was a meeting.
So you figure if we miss a meeting, it's not that big of a deal?
Probably not, so, yeah. Those are not committees that are actually voted on by the council or voting membership. So,
but you learn.
It's not necessary. Yeah.
When you attend,
sure.
Pick up things.
Yeah. Just with the Junction Committee, that's sort of pretty much yes to ODOT, isn't it? I mean, they do what they almost want. At least that's what it sounds like from the meeting that I've attended on it.
And I've never gone to one. Doug, you've gone to those, haven't you?
What's the question again?
Go ahead, Doug.
I just made a comment that these weekly Junction meetings that they've had, it seems to me like ODOT's just about ready to do whatever they want to.
No, ODOT only does what they want to do no matter what anybody says.
That was my opinion.
When you go to the first CLIC meeting, you'll find out. Or COAC meeting, you'll find out. They do whatever they want, no matter what anybody says.
Actually, we did get some good input on that interchange.
Well, the Wickiup Junction interchange, yes, that is going to happen. That is going to go to funding. That is going to happen.
Okay, do we want to have an alternate on the Wickiup Junction steering committee?
Nah. But
anybody else? Anyone else's other opinions?
My opinion is that we should try to foster relationships and not make public statements about other government entities that are on the record.
Well, the record speaks for itself. When they say no, we're not going to do it, and that puts an end.
Okay, well, let's move on with the business at hand. Do we want to assign a secretary to Wickiup Junction Steering Committee? No one interested? No one?
When does that meet?
When they feel they need to, there hasn't been a meeting in months.
Oh, okay.
So, I think it's at the point of just waiting for funding. I think that's where we're at with that.
We don't really need one, do we?
So the light traffic signals on Highway 97 are on this committee's agenda.
When they have their meetings, yeah.
All right,
I'll be the alternate.
Okay. Thank you, Adele.
You're welcome.
That leaves Small Cities Network. They like to have someone, I mean, if you couldn't go, they would like to have someone attend, wouldn't they?
Probably, but it only meets like 3 times a year.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. They always meet in Maupin, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a fun one to go to.
Yeah, I know you always come back with, I'm saying always, I think, what, you've gone twice?
I've gone about twice. 4 times.
4 times?
Mm-hmm.
Was it that long? Oh, gosh, time goes by fast. So I guess I was right when I said always. You always come back feeling very positive and having good things. Do we want to assign an alternate or just figure Barbara will let us know anytime she can't make it and select someone? Would you like to volunteer for that?
I'll volunteer if you want. She needs an alternate.
If they're going to volunteer, that's even better.
Yeah.
Okay, so Don, alternate on Small Cities Network. When I retire, I'm going to start doing some of these things.
Okay.
Yes?
Excuse me.
Okay.
We need to get out.
Okay, the Water Alliance. We have Barbara. That sounds, I think that's one that we'd probably like to have an alternate.
Jeremy's going to go.
And they probably always meet in them, don't they? That was out.
Yes.
Well, this is a new one coming up.
Yes. They haven't said where it's going to be.
I wish I could volunteer for some of those. I think they'd be fun. I'd love to do the Small Cities Network.
Yeah. I won't give it up. I'm sorry.
After I retire, I'll fight you for it. Yep.
By that time, I'll be long gone.
Well, do we want to consider an alternate for the Deschutes Water Alliance or leave that to another time? Anyone?
It's a noon meeting, so.
Noon meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how often they're going to meet, do we?
No.
Sounds like people are tired of signing up. No takers? Oh, well, we already know Doug doesn't want to. I can't. You can't be your own alternate. Have you filled up on?
Let me get into it a little further.
Okay, you bet. Yep, we don't want to overload
so
here.
If Jeremy's going, we'll have better information too.
Okay. Well, everyone okay letting that one wait for a while? See what
yes.
they do then. Patty, do you think you have all that?
I think so.
Thanks. Thank you. I think I have it too, so if you're a little unsure on one,
okay.
Give me a call.
Okay.
So I will call and put Don's name on there so he will be notified.
Oh,
Small Cities and COIC.
Yes. Thank you so much.
So.
You should have a motion and pass it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've done that in the past.
It makes it able to make the changes to COAC.
Okay, great.
The membership program.
Should we go through each group and the names assigned first or just move to approve as?
Just, Patty, do you have record of everything?
Well, it's kind of jambled.
I do have it.
Okay, you have it, every bit of it, and I have it.
Why don't you read it off, Luana, real quickly, and then we can have a motion made.
Okay, the first name I read will be primary, the second name I'll read will be secondary. COIC is Barbara Hedges and Don Greiner. COAC Rail will be Don Greiner, Doug Ward. Wiki Objection Steering Committee, Luana Damerval, Adele McAfee. TAG, Doug Ward, Adele McAfee. Small Cities Network, Barbara Hedges, Don Greiner. Coco, Adele McAfee, Kitty Shields, Leahy, Doug Ward, Luana Damerval, Water and Sewer Districts, Kitty Shields, Doug Ward, Chamber of Commerce, that's open, And she's Water Alliance, Barbara.
Thank you. All right.
You two do a motion now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll entertain a motion to make the city council committee appointments as noted.
I so move.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor
Hitchens, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to discussion of 2009 city accomplishments. And I guess.
Do we want to change the name on yet?
Yeah, we might want to change the name. This was spent our time on in 2009. I think it started out just being a list sort of the things that that took place. Mm-hmm. And we were also working on, or Glenn and Patty, working on accomplishments, and they all got put up on one list under that heading. So
I think that the list that appeared in the Newberry Eagle was a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it had a lot of this stuff taken out of it.
Could we just use that one list?
Sure. So pretend those other things aren't on here. Anyway, I guess this was mainly just, I guess, for reflection and just sometimes I think we feel like we're just kind of spinning along and not getting a lot done, and this gives us an opportunity to look back and say, gosh, you know, we did. We got a lot accomplished, and when you look at some of these things, they took up a lot of time. And so it's helpful to me kind of to look back and reflect on some of these things and think, oh yeah, oh gosh, we put a lot of thought and time in that, gathered a lot of information, had some good discussion, and came out with a good product.
It's a shame this comes at the end of the meeting when they're too pooped to discuss it. But it is a good. We did a lot. I think maybe we ought to copy that that list and maybe like put it up on the. Blow it up and put it up as a reminder on the board when we have our meetings.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. More albums.
Yeah.
It was kind of what this was meant to be. Thank you, Jeremy. It's like a more outreach. Gosh, you know, we saw some good things come out of all the time that we've spent. And then we look down here at all of the things that we are. This list is probably not complete, but a lot of the things that we know before us in this year, we're going to be busy again. And man, I tell you, if we can accomplish all that, we will have another good year to look back on as a morale boost. And then there's at least one of those on this list that Jeremy has an update on. I'm sorry, you were going to say what?
Well, I was just going to say, interestingly enough, many of these were well into having them completed already.
Yeah, yeah.
So, are we going to work on having a transportation committee? We talked about that
thank
last
you.
Time.
That is that on here?
No.
No, I don't see it.
a transportation committee that we're forming. Yeah, we'll get that done too. So,
is that water that Shirley is doing on here?
Mm-mm. I think it was.
I believe so.
It's on the other list.
It's on the other list.
Well, the city's utility committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Doug, is this where you wanted to have people vote their, what was it, four projects that you really want to see us move ahead on?
Well, I think we need to establish four things that we need to get done between now and July 1st. One of them is the city manager situation, and we're doing that. And I think the business license ordinance is very important. The Mid-State Electric franchise is very important. And the road maintenance project, as far as dust abatement goes and filling the potholes and so forth, which Lamont is working on, is real important. And then, of course, there's other things here like the mosquito abatement thing. That's something we need to do, but that won't take very much time. That's a pretty easy thing.
How about the city charter? Is that what?
I think my personal opinion is when we get through a couple of these other things that we ought to unleash Jeremy on the city charter with a voter goal for November of next year to be approved by the voters on the general ballot.
For 2011?
I don't think we can make it in May. I think we can do it between now and May.
November.
It'd be 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
This year,
coming fall. And that would be a good ballot time because that's a major election. A lot of things on it would bring out the maximum number of voters that would care to vote.
Well, I would definitely like to see the charter done in this year.
Yeah, 2010.
So
yeah.
I don't think we can do it this spring.
I've got that down on my list.
Me too. Lana?
Just so that the council knows, when items go to the ballot, depending on how many issues are on the ballot, the cost of that is split between those issues. If there's two issues, those two voting items pay that full pamphlet ballot charge, which could be quite expensive. Because on the general ballot, you know there's going to be a lot on it, and it's going to be very cost-effective.
That's why November 2010 would be an ideal time.
The May one, it could be real expensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can't make it for May anyway.
No.
It's just a thought out there.
Okay. And, of course, staff policies and handbook. Let's face it, it's all important. Nuisance and code enforcement.
I'd like to throw out something is that I've been thinking about, and it's the develop a citizens committee to address the issue of a tax increase and start going and exploring that and be real upfront about it and go ugly early.
I'm understanding.
The property tax.
But
it can only go to $1.98. You mean up to $1.98?
You mean you want to...
Well, explore the options of what we have, because we didn't raise it last time.
Oh.
And then we've already established that we would probably, more than likely, have to raise it this year.
Yeah, probably so.
So
that's up to the budget committee.
That is the citizens committee. The budget committee.
The budget committee.
I was thinking more of a to go thinking out of the box and thinking of citizens' participation and a buy-in early on into exploring, what our options are and why we would need to do it. Because I think last year it was just a flat yes or no, and that's not going to, there was like no preparation for that. We went at the budget meeting table and then we decided whether or not we were going to raise it. So there wasn't like a
That was a lot of preparation.
The general basis on the property tax is that the budget committee will form a pre-budget based on the maximum dollar value of $1.98, based upon all the input given by the mayor and the staff and the city attorney on what the city has to spend their money on. And then they will look at that and they will say, well, we don't need this, we don't need that, or we take this off, put that on, and then that will adjust the property. And that's what we did last year. We started out at $1.98, but because we took that $150,000 cost for a transportation study out of the budget, mm-hmm. and that was the only thing we took out of that budget, that dropped the rate to $1.80, and that, which was 8 cents lower than the year before. My personal feeling is you don't tax until you need the money. Now, I think we're going to probably have to raise our tax rate next July simply because of the city manager position, because there's a lot of other things we have to pay for. So, and I, even though I personally don't like it, I think it's something that we're going to have to just grin and bear it. We're going to have to do it because that's the way it's going to be. But that doesn't mean we have to spend the whole $1.98. Maybe we only have to raise the rate a nickel. I don't know. When Ken Kendall puts the budget together, which is coming up very shortly, within the next 6 weeks probably, we'll have a better understanding of what we have to pay for, what we maybe don't want to pay for yet, and if we have to raise the tax rate.
So in about 6 weeks, we'll kind of have a general idea.
Yeah, that's about the right time. And in about 6 weeks is when he starts putting that all together. And then we can look at it. We can sit down and we can make a decision. I would just as soon not raise it. I think the worst possible thing that any government can do is raise taxes in a depressed economy. I think what they're doing in Washington and in Salem is total insanity.
Well, I think...
And I won't say anymore.
We have another thing going on, too, that's going to affect the budget, and that's the fact that there's going to be less property tax collected.
Absolutely.
So it's probably just going to be a necessity. That
and then the impact, if 6667 doesn't pass, how is it going to impact us?
There's also something in the comprehensive plan about developing city parks, and if we get the property there by the library, we could develop that.
Yeah. So anyway, we already have a citizen committee, which is the budget committee.
Isn't it appointed for that fiscal year?
The what?
Isn't it appointed for the fiscal year? Or
they have
staggering. Okay. Yeah. Just like the council, they have staggering.
And then, of course, you have your budget hearing, too, where you do take testimony from people, if you can get them to show up.
We are going to have to be looking for some more budget members this year.
Do they have to be in the city?
Yes. And they have to be registered. They have to be a registered voter in the city to be on the budget committee.
To be on the budget committee, yeah.
State.
So, are you okay with that?
I'm glad that I cleared it up. The idea is still there. Start talking about it early.
Well, so, what do we think? Everybody likes Beth's top four, or put their own top one or two thrown in?
Yes.
City manager. Business license, good state, and road maintenance. And what did you?
Beat the city charter. Well, I think.
City charter. That was one of mine too. But we, I guess we figured with everything else we're doing, it won't happen before November. Plus, we have the monetary benefit and doing it in that election time.
Just so you know that. It will probably need to be ready to go on the ballot about 2 months earlier.
Yeah. Right, yeah, so we will have to start working on it.
This spring. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
if we turn you loose to write a city charter, what's your time frame? I mean, how long do you think it would take?
I would start it this spring.
I mean, what are you talking about, 2 months? Time frame or?
Maybe.
A couple of months?
Yeah, Doug, I've never prepared a charter before. There's very few of us out there that have.
Neither, nobody else around here has.
Isn't that usually like a citizens committee thing?
We're definitely going to want to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, but I would think that we should start, if our objective is to have this on the November ballot, I'd like to start in March or April. Well, I don't want to wait till the last minute.
Well, we can knock off a couple of these other ones, and then you can go on to the next one.
Yeah. Well, I see these as, some of these other items in here, frankly, as gap fillers. Things to do while these bigger projects are being completed.
Well, we already have the business license ordinance written.
Yeah.
All we have to do is dig it out and approve it.
No, we have to...
Discuss it.
Discuss.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's, I mean, we already did it once, but we put it under the table. But it's already written in form. I have a copy of it all. We just tabled it and never did anything with it.
The lion's share of the work is done. Yes. It's just fleshing out the details.
Yes.
And that's...
So that's, yeah, that cuts your time down.
Sure.
Like this. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Was that 2008?
Last summer.
2009. Okay, any more discussion on that? Here I have the staff print out a copy of our goals that we... Oh, there we go. And I couldn't even find them. Just going to take a glance at that and see where we think where the items that we identified, how they match up with that. Well, one of those short-term tasks we got done. Yeah, that's a broader thing. Never mind. Okay. Is everyone finished with discussion on that? Or did you already say?
No. Yes.
Right. Then we will move on to... Did you have anything else to add to that, Jeremy?
No.
Number 12, City General Dispute Resolution Procedure, which was carried over from our discussion in the work session. And we decided that we were ready to approve the dispute resolution procedure and employee complaint procedure form with the revisions that we discussed. And Jeremy, would you go over those revisions again?
I can. So one of the revisions was removing reference to 5 days throughout the document and including language such as the complaint needing to be filed timely but not later than 10 days after the particular date of the event. Removal of the designation of the mayor as being one of the identified parties involved in the resolution procedure or process, and substituting language to the effect that the individual would be designated by the city council. There was also a request to include language specifically in this document that identified the need to communicate the issues between the two parties or the parties subject to the complaint or dispute, that these parties communicate amongst one another before going through this formal complaint process. And those are the three principal changes that I had.
Is everyone?
I agree with that.
The way you remember it?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, then. I will entertain a motion to approve the general City of Lapine General Dispute Resolution Procedure and City of Lapine Employee Complaint Procedure Form, subject to revisions as noted.
I so move.
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
I am Councilor Ward. Which is, no, I want to see the revision before I approve it.
So is that an abstention, or what is it?
No,
it's a no.
It's a no. Actually, okay. Councilor Shields, yes.
Councilor Greiner, yes.
Okay. Motion passes 4-1. We don't come up with that very often. That is what we agreed to do in our work session, was to move it forward for approval, subject to revisions that we discussed. Mm-hmm.
And I think then I stated I would rather see it before I approved it.
I didn't hear that.
No.
You did. But we can always do that anyway. Everyone can.
We're going to get a copy.
We're going to get a copy.
And if you have identified concerns, there's nothing to prevent you from bringing it back.
There. Thank you. That's the response.
That's always the case.
That's always the case. Yeah.
Okay. So one of us voted yes can always put it back on the agenda, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you don't like the revisions, by all means.
Yeah.
Or even change your mind about a particular procedure.
Okay.
Can I finish that? That's doable with respect to these more informal documents. If we were talking about an ordinance, it would be a little bit different. Mm-hmm.
Okay, move on to number 13, other matters. 13A, we are following our discussion on, in the work session, on city manager, what we'd like to see in a city manager. We decided to move this forward to the regular agenda to move to pursue employment of a city manager. Does anyone need any further discussion on that? Do you understand? We already gave the direction to no. We were going.
You're going to do that now.
We're going to. Oh, okay. We have to shift it. Okay. So, what we discussed was having Jeremy look at the Hefner city manager job description and largely apply that to coming up with the job description for us, inserting the things that he knows through our discussion that would work better for us. I'm getting tired. Get that.
You want me to help you?
Please.
So what we need is a motion to pursue the employment of a city manager, and then relatedly, direction to me to begin the preparation of a job description based on the job description that Councilor Ward presented, which was that of Hefner.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that also going to include a compensation package, or is that going to be something we do later?
I think we'll develop that later.
Later? Okay.
Yeah, let's baby step.
Okay.
Okay, pursue employment of city manager with direction for Jeremy.
Say that again. With direction for you to
prepare a draft job description.
And you are including qualifications for employment in that too, right?
You betcha.
Okay.
That was in that
one.
I said that was in the thing.
Yeah, it was in that.
Right.
Yeah, it was in, yeah. Well, I didn't hear all of it. Oh. Us old people don't hear really.
Those are requirements, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, any further discussion, comment?
Just a comment along those lines, Doug. Ultimately, I guess what I'm envisioning presenting is the document that we will utilize when soliciting applicants.
Correct. That's the way I feel too.
Good.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
It's good. So it's going to be the skeleton. So
you betcha.
Yes.
Launch discussion, right?
Exactly. Oh, right.
Absolutely.
The whole shebang.
The draft job description. And okay. Any other comments? Discussion?
No.
All right, I will entertain a motion to pursue employment of a city manager with direction for Jeremy to prepare a draft job description.
I so move.
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor
Hedges,
huh?
Yes. Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brown, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, number 13B. Approve the December 9th, 2009 minutes, which have been revised and they were moved over from the consent agenda at this meeting. And I had a lot of revisions on those. And thankfully, Councilor Hedges brought a copy of my revisions so that I could read them out because I forgot to. Did anyone else have any revisions? Or should I start? Or?
No.
Oh, I had a minor one. I'm sorry. Okay, page 4 of the revised version of January 8th. There's a factual mistake. It says Mr. King introduced Courtney Steve as a management intern.
Adele?
Oh.
Councilor Greiner can't hear.
On page 4?
Got it.
Okay. 1740? 50. So Courtney Steve is a... started as a management intern and is now the assistant to the city manager.
Okay. That's different page numbering than I have.
Get the second paragraph after 1740, if that helps.
Oh, okay. There we go. Oh, thanks, Don. And then, correction was what?
Courtney Sweet started as the as a management intern and is now the assistant to the city manager.
Oh, you wanted that added, or?
She's not a management intern. She started as a management intern.
Okay. Okay, is everyone good with that change? Did you have anything?
No. Just a little. The revised page, be almost at the end. on the page 14. The motion is passed, but on the balance sheet, and I declined because I didn't have the necessary information to make any.
Oh, okay. I think everyone okay with that? It's factual. He was just left out. He abstained from voting because he didn't have enough, didn't feel like he had enough information. Okay. Anyone else before I move on with mine? Okay. Oh boy. Okay. And I think I have different page numbers here than people, than other people. Item number three. We need some renumbering here. I had picked that out before too, and now I'm picking it out. Item number three. Eric King, city manager of Ben, stated that the key areas of his job are. And then it goes 3, 4, 5, 6. Instead of 1, 2, 3, 4.
What page is that?
The very front page.
Mine doesn't have any numbers on it.
Under number 3, presentation, yeah. Discussion with Eric.
There's no numbering. It's just a hyphen.
Because it printed out. With numbers on my computer. Okay.
No numbers on mine.
No, you don't have any numbers?
No.
Okay.
Numberless.
So, we'll leave it numberless. Is that okay?
Numberless.
You don't have the one with the red?
No.
Okay.
It says revised, but I don't.
Okay, so how do we want this bulleted or numbers?
I only have four items. You said six.
But yeah, they were accidentally not three, four, five, and six.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4?
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Yes, all right then. And in the following paragraph,
So you say there should be six of them, 600, or just four numbers?
Well, there are four items. One, okay, one, two, three, four. Somehow it came out on my computer. It just has a 3, 4, 5, and 6 there, and Barbara has the same thing.
Okay, so for my hyphens on my copy, it should just be 1, 2, 3, 4 accessible hyphens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and the paragraph just below that, the last sentence was written, he's over the National City Manager Association would be a great resource, as I see on the paragraph, parentheses, would be a great resource to put together job descriptions, and they also have a much-focused recruitment agency. I just thought very focused sounds better than much-focused. So does everyone agree with that change?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And skip the next paragraph, and then on the next paragraph, in response to a question from Councilor Ward, Eric King stated that typically the city administrator is for a strong mayor, and here's my change, I don't know what it changed from, is for a strong mayor form of government in which the mayor is usually compensated and has an office at City Hall. I don't have the original version.
Yeah, I don't have it either because I didn't know we were going to do this. I can go ahead and put it in though.
The reason for this is the way it was, I didn't think it read very smoothly. So, does everyone agree that that's accurate and it reads well? Stated that typically the city administrator is for a strong mayor form of government, comma, in which the mayor is usually compensated and has an office at City Hall. Does that sound okay to everyone?
Mm-hmm. We delete the comma.
Well, city committee is really strong in their form of government, in which Dan and Tom belongs there. Actually, that, yeah, probably a matter of preference there. Okay, skip the next paragraph. Amendment the one that starts 1740. The first paragraph there. Mayor Shields stated that what we're trying to determine. Okay, here I'm reading my change. I don't know what I changed it from. What we're trying to determine is what type of person we need to help us finish getting the city set up. She wondered if that is something we could, comma, or even should, comma, expect of a manager. And then this line was already there. She said, we do not even know exactly what we are missing. Then add, comma, and we need to find the person who can help us determine that. Is everyone okay with that? And then in the following paragraph, the only question I had was, I didn't know the spelling of Jordan's last name, Roger Jordan's last name. And I still don't, so I questioned that. Do we have the correct spelling?
Supposed to be, I thought it was supposed to be A, and I looked it up on the internet. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was incorrect.
No, you had it as O. You had J-O-R-D-O-N.
I know, but when you asked me to check it, I went on the internet and it said it should be D-A-N.
Okay.
So D-A-N is correct.
Okay.
You know what? The internet's
wrong. D-A-N.
That's what I checked it.
Okay. And then in the very next paragraph, master's degree should be with an apostrophe S.
I had it originally that way. Although I changed it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's wrong with that.
I got so paranoid about apostrophes. So I just wanted to do the global change.
Okay, so all of those.
If you want to be really correct, a sentence above that for someone who is flexible instead of that. When speaking of people, you're
flexible.
Supposed to say who.
That was always a big one of mine. I kept telling people who were writing minutes that people are who's, they're not that's. Remember, I used to do that. People are who's, they're not that's. And now everything that I read, all writing, has a person down as a that. So yes. I finally gave in. It's just kind of like how snuck into the dictionary. It's supposed to be sneaked. But it snuck in there, so now it's okay to say snuck. So anyway, that's why I didn't pick, I just ignore those anymore.
Oh, those are one of my very peaky things.
So do you want it changed? Change it?
I don't care.
Oh, I would love to have a kindred spirit here on that one.
I want, I get very picky about who.
Like I said, I always used to, and now everything I read, we can give you your pickings.
The nuns beat me if I did it wrong.
Okay, but you're going to learn it wrong?
I don't care.
But it, so now it has snuck in there.
With that one, like
everything else. Okay. Okay. So, second paragraph down from that. We have to insert an A in response to a question from Councillor Hedges. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
And in the following paragraph,
can we, like, do a consensus of maybe that we'll accept all the grammatical changes so we don't go through those changes?
We've got all these changes.
Yeah, the minutes are about three times longer than they used to be.
But this was a very, very long.
Yeah.
One page there with no changes at all. Okay,
can I propose something?
Sure.
Why don't we submit your changes in the record, give the city council between now and the next city council meeting to review those record, mm-hmm. those proposed changes, and then let's just approve them, in addition to the revision that we've already discussed, the next city council meeting? Is that reasonable to everyone?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, say it again.
So I guess my thought would be that Kitty submit those proposed changes in the record. They would then be available to any of the city councilors to review, comment on, you know, whatever. And then we come back at the next city council meeting and we approve the minutes. If in fact all the changes proposed by Kitty are acceptable.
That was what I wanted to do, and Councilor Malina said that any proposed changes should be made before the public.
That's what I'm saying is you're going to make them available now. If that would appease everyone, and you see what I'm saying? You're going to give them to Patty. You're going to put them in the record now so they are available for inspection now.
Okay, so I'm going to put another 7 minutes out?
No, just for proposed changes. Just for proposed changes.
Okay, just like I just take a piece of paper and put the changes where they occurred on which page?
You're going to take Kitty's changes and they're in the record, they're part of the record. Anyone who wants to see what changes Kitty's proposing can go and request a copy of her.
So it's a separate document.
Since we don't have the original.
Yeah, the only reason why I'm proposing this is because I think it's going to take a long time for you to go through all this.
It is, and that's why I didn't want to do it that way.
If that's acceptable to you, Adele.
Right.
That way.
I think that's acceptable.
I've never had this come up before, so I'm just trying to figure out a way to deal with it in a quick and efficient way.
Well, and that was my thinking, was that, you know, it's there. It's there for it. We have the old copies. It's there for everyone to see what the... You always keep your original...
We're getting off point. The point is that those revisions should have been made in that manner, period. The way that we can put them... That Jeremy's proposing, I think, is the most efficient way of doing it. And I think that I'm perfectly fine with that. And it was done. No, we're not going to do it again. Then we're not going to have 50 million versions of the minutes. So
Patty, let the record show that Kitty is going to submit her minutes to City Hall for review, her revisions for review. And that includes, frankly, the public's review as well. Then City Council will have a period of approximately 2 weeks to review those. We'll come back at the next City Council meeting, and provided there's no objection to Kitty's proposed revisions, we will approve them.
Okay, that was already done. The councilors have a copy.
But I think it wasn't a part of the record in the public, otherwise we couldn't have obtained access. What I'm saying is we're going to allow them access to them now.
Yeah, I don't have the originals, but I thought that we were going to have Patty and Luana do the corrections, put them in the packet, and we go over them.
We are. This isolated event, I'm trying to figure out a way to deal with it now.
Sorry.
So we don't have to be here another 5 minutes.
Okay, that'll work.
Good.
Thank you.
So the minutes never have to be copied and distributed again to these guys.
Just not until they're finalized.
Okay, so
I'll work with you.
Minutes have to be in the agenda packet?
Yeah, we were gonna put the finalized minutes in the agenda packet, but you and I.
Maybe we need to put finalized or something somewhere on them then, since we've got so many versions running around.
You and I.
Date.
We can talk later.
Okay.
And we'll get
finalized. Okay.
We're all tired.
Sorry about that. Okay. Finally, we can move on to public comments for items not on the agenda. If anyone's not too tired to speak, before we get started, I want last meeting. I talked to Judy Forsythe right before the meeting and apologized that she had still not gotten answers to two questions that she had asked at a meeting, I think, two meetings prior to that, and told her I'll get those answers out to you at public comment time, and then I forgot. This time I wrote myself a note. And her questions were, she wanted an update on the MOU, which is forthcoming. Jeremy will give that to us.
And the other one was a question on whether the city, whether City Hall had received any manager applications, and if so, what became of them. And I believe that there were two unsolicited applications that came in. Was
it two?
Resumes. Thank you. No, resumes. Mm-hmm. Was it two?
I know it's all. There was one that came in when Luana was on vacation from somebody you guys had interviewed previously that we talked about.
No, we didn't interview him.
Not interview, but you had looked at.
It was in our pool.
Okay. And then there was something from a woman that had apparently had heard about it at the town hall meeting, that there was a discussion of city manager. So she had just said that in as a, not with any solicitation or anything, just apparently she'd got the assumption that we were looking for.
Yeah. But anyway, they were, since they were unsolicited, Lorana asked me what she thought she should do, and I said, well, we haven't advertised, just go ahead and put them in an unsolicited resumes folder. I have subsequently talked with Jeremy, and he said that it might be nice, just as a matter of course, when we get things like this, to just go ahead and say, send out a thanks but no thanks response when we get these things that we're not hiring right now. Or
in this case, that we're going through the preliminary mm-hmm. stages and
yeah.
to reapply once our solicitation goes out.
Yeah. So that's... Do you have any questions? We don't... Okay, thank you. And again, as we said, we don't normally take questions about all you want. I'd like to state again that when you do have... questions that, are just a matter of routine kind of things, just go ahead and stop in at City Hall or give a call and ask. It's usually staff can help you with those. Thank you. Any comments?
Yes. Well, my name is Justin Cutler, and I'd just like to introduce myself. I'm the new executive director for the Lapine Parks District, and I figured this way I'd be able to get you all collectively in the room together. I don't have to hunt you down individually, so I'd just like to say thank you for letting me attend your meeting, and I look forward to working with you all on parks issues. So.
Well, thank you for being here. Yeah. Thank you for sticking it out.
I've done meetings that are longer than this.
Well, ours usually don't go on this long, so we hope we'll see you again. Actually, it would be nice if you would become a regular.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome. So how are you liking your new job?
I like it. I mean, there's a lot of work to do, and a lot of, like you guys are going through right now, establishing your city. I think there's a lot of things that the district has done up until this point, but then there's that next level that we're going to be taking the district to, and I think there's a lot of research and working with the Special Districts Association, similar to you guys working with the League of Oregon Cities mm-hmm. and ICMA, just to bring that level of professionalism and that mentality to the district, I think is really important. And working with the board and working with the citizens to craft a district that is representative of Lapine and of the district. So that's the important thing that we'll be working on. So.
Well, great. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
You have the right, I think, attitude from my perspective, my opinion, and I think you have a good, positive group of people that you're working with, mm-hmm. and now I know they'll stay that way because they have the help that they need. They're starting to get pretty burned out.
Yeah, and if any of you have any questions or want to just stop by the office, I'm usually there most times, or I'm out meeting with citizens or school groups or county commissioners. So please stop by and introduce yourself, and if you have any input on what you'd like to see for particularly the city of Lapine, and most of our, I guess all of our parks at this point are within the confines of the city limits. So if you have any input or directions you'd like to see, I'd be happy to take that down and submit that. So.
Where is your office?
My office, good question, is in the Johnson C. Johnson building, where the old floral shop used to be. So it's the westernmost office there. So
where City Hall used to be.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the library used to be.
Where the library used to be. Okay. Well, thank you.
I gotta go back.
Yes, Judy Forsythe.
I'd just like to let the city council know that again this year I'm working with the U.S. Census Bureau, and I'm the recruiter and tester for Deschutes County. And I've been working to get the word out of how important it is that we get a good accurate census count, especially in Deschutes County, and what that could mean to everybody. And I just appreciate any opportunity you have to tell people about it. And I'm testing over at Mid-States Community Room at least once a week. And I've got some small cards with me that have the number on it. If you would like to take some to hand it to anybody, for anyone interested in testing.
Okay. Well, you've got a job ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you testing for?
What we're doing is they have me recruit folks, and then they take a 30-minute test. Okay. It's just a preliminary test, and for those who pass the test in the background, then they may be offered positions to work in different phases of work through 2010.
Hmm.
Okay. Good part-time temporary work.
All right. Sorry.
I did it once, and I highly recommend it. I was working at the same time, I was working full time, but it was great.
Vicki Jackson, 17346 Media Court. Went to the league meeting, and I guess the MOU, I guess, is it coming out in a couple months? There was some talk, I guess. Is that what is needed before the groups can come together for that intersection? Their MOU?
Jeremy's going to give us an update on the MOU.
Okay.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
A couple things. As everybody probably knows, I was recorder for the city of Volunteer for the first 6 months. A couple things I'd kind of like to bring out. All the meetings are recorded. That is the legal, that's for the public. The minutes that come out afterwards, they are a courtesy because it is more convenient for them to read. I had a very humiliating experience when I was a volunteer and I had the minutes and I did some spelling errors. And one of the city councilors, they called me out on it in the meeting. And it was very, very humiliating. They had some issues and it was a bad experience. So I started doing, after the meeting, when I had the luxury of doing my minutes at home, and I would send out a draft copy to all of the members of the council. And they would pick up, the ones that read it, would pick up all the spelling errors and the grammatical errors and all that sort of thing. Then I did a final draft. That's what went to the council before the meeting. So they had a chance to look them over before the meeting. And I really, spending a whole lot of time on picking apart minutes is not really what the city council should be all about. There is a record. And I understand if there's anything to do with voting or, who, what, where, that's important. But when you get into little minor details, it can really be very distracting to the audience. They don't want to hear that. And that's what I have to say.
You said you had a couple of things. That was it? You bundled it all into one?
Yeah.
Oh, Vicki, one more time.
Well, look through your council rules and get a copy of it. I guess if you're going to follow that, the minutes will go to all the council members right after they're done, and then you guys would have almost up to 2 weeks to, I guess, make the changes or whatever, so maybe it'll help you.
Thank you. Okay. Staff comments. Patty, are you too worn out?
No, except that just in case Lorna forgets, Monday we will be closed. City Hall will be closed for Martin Luther Day, Luther King Day.
You are tired, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. It's a long day.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Lorna?
Okay, are you ready for this? I'm going to put my two cents worth in on the minutes. Patty took her last class, Homeward in the Valley, and came back with information that it is not
standard procedure for the council to do punctuation corrections on the minutes during the meeting. That's just, isn't that what you came back with, Patty?
Well, it's considered a staff function, not a...
So,
and we don't have the staff to do it, so that's why I was doing it.
I know. But anyway, just thought for that after. Okay, as far as my classes, I haven't attended any. It's winter time. The next ones that are coming up that I'm looking at start in March. So that's through League of Oregon Cities and I. We received a memorandum from Deschutes County Sheriff Ray Batten about Central Oregon Interagency Partnering for a MAC representation and training. That stands for Multi-Agency Coordination. I know Adele was interested in disaster planning, and this is what they are trying to pull together. They're finding that it's a weak spot in Deschutes County, and they're trying to pull multi-agencies together. They had a meeting scheduled for February 18th from, I see 1300 is 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So if anybody wants this information, I have it in City Hall. Did you want this? No? Okay.
Excuse me, then where's that going to be located at again, Lorna?
It's in the Deschutes County Sheriff's Office training room.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I highlighted stuff all over it.
Okay, that's cool.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, on the calendar, everybody got the calendar. I did get a hold of the range rider, and I emailed everybody about when he will be here, which will be Friday, January 29th for luncheon. He couldn't make it sooner than that, and he'll be in the area. So that is on your calendar. I will be out of the office tomorrow afternoon. February 16th, League of Oregon Cities class is on from 3 to 6, and it will be at the Finley Butte Park building.
Which date was that?
February 16th, and that's on your calendar for the League of Oregon Cities training. Council training.
Okay.
That's all. Jeremy.
Two items. One is this MOU between the county, Liggy, the city, and ODOT. Made a tremendous amount of progress on this with the assistance of Gary Farnsworth and ODOT. It looks like ODOT is in agreement with the proposed revisions that I have made to Section 3 of this document, which you all will receive tomorrow. One of the primary concerns that had been identified by Liggy was some commitment. I'm sure you all remember, I think it was Ted who spoke to this effect, some language in this document that would obligate the city to investigate, evaluate, and attempt to identify funding opportunities, whether that be a system development charge, ordinance, or otherwise. And so Gary and I have had conversations regarding this particular issue, among many others, but focusing in particular on Section 3, identifying that this is probably the stumbling block, if any, as it relates to getting this document finalized. And I think I have come up with language that will likely be agreeable to Liggy. It is definitely agreeable to Gary. Gary has similar concerns as Liggy does, and I thought if Gary bought off on it, then Liggy would likely buy off on it as well, because there are some similarities as far as both organizations want the city to be committing to, now, not just executing this MOU, but also doing something with the information. You know, the information that we obtained during the scoping project. So the long and short of it is, this will go out to all of the stakeholders tomorrow morning. ODOT's already is in support of this. I am of the opinion that all of you will likely support this as well. I am fairly confident the county will support it because they supported the initial version of this document. So really, I think it will ultimately be in your laps at the next city council meeting for approval. And that's what I'm crossing my fingers happens, which is well under that 2-month time length. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. So you'll get this in an email tomorrow.
Wonderful. We can cross that one off.
The other item that I have to quickly discuss with you is this job description. The next city council meeting is going to be a massive city council meeting in the sense that we have a lot of things that we have to discuss, approve, and go through. If there's no objection, I'd like to put the job description on the first meeting in February, or we table one of these other bigger projects and we put them off into February. I'm indifferent, but I just know I'm trying to be practical and reasonable about this. We would literally have to have all this done by next week to get the materials out to you by Thursday, if you recall. Mm-hmm. I just don't see this happening. This is way too much work. And so I'm speaking up now rather than, you know.
Well, I'd say go ahead and put the job description off. Everything we do, we want to be able to do it well. So yeah. We want to have the time to do it.
So with that.
It would be with the original time frame, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. It would. I just want to make sure that your expectations and my expectations are aligned.
Does that work for you, Doug?
All right. I'll go along with that.
Yes. Okay. Okay, and is that, that's still going to be a pretty heavy load?
Oh, yeah.
For you?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the bigger animals, if you will, that we need to work through is our public records request policy, and that in and of itself is a big policy that will require a lot of thought and consideration, not just from you, but from the citizens as well, because it impacts all of us.
Does it look like you have more than you're going to be able to handle?
We're going
to
get what we have identified as being our priorities will be on that agenda.
Okay. Okay then. Anything else?
That's it.
I forgot something.
Okay, we'll move back to you.
With Councilor Greiner on board, with Adele changing her last name, we needed to make our signatory sheet finalized with the bank. Yeah. I have the sheets in here, so if I could get everybody to sign it tonight, I can get it back to the bank tomorrow. We'll be done with that part of it.
Don't escape.
Everybody or just the
system? Everybody.
Everybody.
They're all signers on the checking account.
Okay.
Okay. Resign.
Thank you, Luana. Okay, I have a couple things. Patty got a phone call from Kenneth Goodnight at the Shepherd's House in Bend, wanting to talk to me about what Lapine might be able to do. I'm sure you've all heard about these surplus A-frame buildings that they're trying to find places for the homeless, for temporary homeless shelters. And he helps with communications for the Shepherd's House in Bend. And they're trying to find places to put these little, what were they, 14 by 14 A-frames or something, for temporary housing shelters. And I thought, gosh, I don't know how we could help him. We don't even have any land. Luana says, sure we do. We have a cemetery. But anyway, I remembered back when I read about this in Bend Bulletin, I remembered that there was a, you know, the first thing that crossed my mind anyway was, how do you accommodate temporary housing? This has to take a whole bunch of, you know, special permits and all that kind of stuff. And then I remember reading the bulletin article. So I went back and read that again. And then I called this Kenneth Goodnight, very nice man. And we had a nice little chat. And I reminded him that we aren't a brand new city, and that a city like Bend is having problems. Because they have code issues and land use issues and everything on where to put these. That's not even anything that I appreciated that we were being thought of. He wanted us to be a community that was involved
in that, you know, for the positive image, and I said, I hope you understand, I don't really see how, because, you know, we don't even have a comprehensive plan in place, and we're working on that. And right away, he understood, and he says, yeah, he says, I'll have to confess. He says, I've been having a lot of discussions with Eric Kropp, the deputy county administrator, and he says, it's going to be tough finding a place to put him anywhere. But anyway, I just wanted to let everyone know that this was referred to me, and I didn't.
What is they doing for utilities?
And see, that's another thing too. They they'd have to have a place to hook up to utilities. I don't even think they have. Well, they don't even have plumbing. They have electric, but not plumbing. And see, you have all kinds of issues. And I said, I'm sorry. Much as we would like to, I think that's probably about 20 years down the line for the city of Lapine. Anyway, people are thinking of us. They want to involve us in things. I also, okay, took care of that one. I attended the water district and sewer district meetings. The water district had their second reading of an ordinance to establish a zone of benefit and reimbursement, I wrote reimbursement, for water public improvements. And that means that they can get, they can apply to get reimbursed. They're putting a lot of money into the water and sewer that's going up there for the elementary school. And once this ordinance is put in place, then when someone else builds in that area and taps into that part of the infrastructure, the school district will be able to apply to the water district for reimbursement of part of what that person pays to hook up with their SDCs. I guess that's the way it's done. They, in some form, they get a reimbursement back on their investment that they made. Both districts are concerned that they may miss out on a funding opportunity because the city's comprehensive plan has to be in place before they can get it, but before they can apply. But they understand. And also, they're wanting to annex into the Cagle subdivision, which we already know, and they won't be able to do that until the plan is done. So, on the other hand, that kind of makes their funding a moot issue because they don't need the funding until they can do expansion, so it all has to come together. Okay, sewer district, same funding application concern, but then they also have another thing that extends that complicates it for them. They also have to do an environmental analysis, which will take several months, so they probably wouldn't be able to get the funding anyway. And Dennis Carter, who's the chair of the sewer board, and who attended the first City of Lapine Utilities Committee, reported back that, and he represented both districts. He was authorized to represent both water and sewer district there because the sewer, water district representative couldn't go. He came back, he reported that he was very insulted by some of the comments from committee members. And now don't shoot the messenger on this one. He also said that he was very displeased to see that four of the members don't even live within district or city boundaries. Jane Benner was there and she did a beautiful job of explaining to him how the committee came about and how difficult it is to get people on committees for the council and for their own boards. And this is a bigger issue anyway. That, you know, it made sense to have some people from outside the boundaries on that committee, and they were the ones who were very interested anyway. It was kind of it was a misunderstanding. Some of the comments that he didn't like, she smoothed all that out for him. So I thought she did a great job, and.
Barbara Ann Nelson Batson attended that meeting too, the sewer district meeting. She's the chair of the water division of the water board. She said that she is going to sit down and do up. She listened to the recording from that meeting, and she said there were tons and tons of questions that came up, and a lot of them she can answer. And so she's going to sit down and do up a Q&A. Just do up a sheet with all those questions, all those answers, and then she's going to keep adding to it as questions come up at their subsequent meetings. And she figures that within a couple of months, they probably should have all of their answers and everything. So that all went well. The only other thing is their engineer had an update on the Biogreen project. And I won't bore you with any of that. We all want to close here and go home, but I do have a handout. This is a memo from their engineer to a memo to the districts on a teleconference that the engineer had with Biogreen and DEQ representatives, and he lists who was in attendance on that conference. So, do you want just that? Do you and Patty each want one, or do you want just one for the city hall?
Are you sure?
I don't have one.
Do you want one?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I even had to want to print that out for me, but I have it right here. And then this is obviously pretty short notice, but the Lapine Chamber of Commerce would like for someone to attend or take part in the Volunteer Opportunity Fair. That is Friday, January 15th from 10 to 1. And I emailed this. I don't want to spend any time talking about it. Everyone got this in their emails. And it's pretty short notice for any of us to set up there, I think, and look for volunteers for any of our projects. But if anyone has that kind of energy and can put that together in that short length of time, go for it. Did you see that?
Yeah, I got that in the chamber packet, but you have to pay for the table.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You do have to pay for the table.
But we don't know anything about what kind of volunteers we could use.
I think they've agreed to forego the table for the senior center, so I'm sure that they would for the city also. I talked to them Tuesday about it.
So you want to... Do you have some ideas on what kind of...
I think it'd be kind of hard for me to do, because right now we need to have somebody that's able to stand there and say, we need people to do serve on this committee, this committee, this committee. There are things that you can do for the city, and somebody needs to be up on it. I'm trying to get up to speed on it, but it takes some time, and I think somebody needs to just be able to stand there and tell people, this is where we need your help, and we need the help of the people that are residents of this city.
And that's a thing that we still have not ever done, is identified where we could use some volunteer help. So, can you tell him to put that off for another month?
He's worked on it for a long time. Wants to do that.
Oh, I jumped right into my council comments and didn't even ask for other council comments first.
You skipped me.
I skipped everybody.
I feel left out.
You should.
Very quickly and easily, the Liggy meeting yesterday only had two items on it. The biomass plant, which wants to buy 20 acres on Reed Road across the street from the sewer plant. The representative of Biogreen submitted the final drawings for their building, which is what the county was waiting for. They accepted it. It's going to go to the county commissioners for their approval. They're going to approve it. They're going to send it back to the permit process, they're going to issue the permits, and they're going to start doing this thing here probably this spring. Okay, there is a little, huh?
How how tall is
the building? Well, the building is 2.5 stories tall, which is okay. The question is the smokestack. They want to go 92 to 100 feet on the... It's really not a smokestack, but that's what they call it. Mm-hmm. There was a little discussion on that, but the county says they're gonna fix that. The other thing is the Pacific Pellet Company, which wanted to go in right next door, decided to go to Redmond instead because they were able to pick up a building from Cascade Lumber or somebody that left town, and they're going to do their pellet making up there. Hmm. Other than that, there's, as far as the industrial department goes, there's nothing else happening. Well, there is one eviction, but they didn't say who it was. You can't pay the rent, so they're going to kick them out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adele.
I have three comments.
Barbara.
Well, I have one little question, Luana. What does winter have to do with taking classes?
They don't have that much offered. What they have offered is over in the valley, and I can't go over there in the winter.
No. I thought they had a bunch of stuff here. Okay, I went to the Federal Appropriations meeting, which was very interesting, and there's not a lot that we can get from it, except they do have grants for wastewater, and there was one other little thing that we might be able to get. But their fiscal year starts in October, and the requests have to be in by February 22nd, so maybe the next year we would be able to work on it. And they should consider Jonathan Manton, our very best friend, our BFF. Go to him for anything you want. And I also went to the town hall meeting in Bend, the first I've ever attended, and it was quite a policeman and very interesting to sit between two men who were both against what I believe in. So I'd recommend going to a town hall meeting to everybody. You know, it's a different experience. And that is all that I have been doing. The end.
The end. Thank you.
Done.
I think I have talked enough for tonight. Thank you.
All right. I guess, and what you were saying about the Liggy meeting made me think of one more thing. Bio Green does have another problem that is actually apparently going to take them a long time to resolve, and that's with DEQ, with air quality issues. So,
well, according to the representatives from Bio Green, they have that under control. That's all, and you know, what it is, I don't think that's what they said.
Well, that's not what the sewer and water district engineer was doing. But anyway, we better get out of here. All right. Thank you, people, all you diehards. Thanks for sticking around.
Sure, we won't go to breakfast.
All right. I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
I will say move. Second.
The move and seconded. Roll call.
Ward, yes.
Councilor Mullane, yes.
Councilor Hitch, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilman Shannon, yes.
Motion passes.
Meeting is adjourned. It is dying around
37 p.m. My gosh.